One.
The intro. See, now there's going to be the gears. Those are running now.
So no one can hear this, right?
Nobody can hear this right now, right. But I am recording it, so it's possible that might end up in the whole thing.
I always thought you're supposed to start at 5 and then do 4 and 3.
No, I'm trying to hit scene.
And then you don't do 1 or 2 or go.
It's like A, B, C, go.
Okay. I think that's not right.
God damn it, guys. Fucking. Well, welcome to Crippled System episode 126.
126.
My name is Andy.
My name is Brian.
My name is Brian.
My name is Ladybug.
Ladybug Nate.
No, that's Catbug.
It's a Ladybug. This is a Ladybug.
No, that's Catbug.
It's Cat Nate.
Yeah, it's Cat Nate.
Catbug Nate.
Yeah. We might have a surprise Nate in the next few minutes here. So we should talk about announcements.
Announcements. I'm selling my Crix. You should buy it. That's my first plug. I got it all priced out. If you want to buy some Crix that has 9 years of torture and awfulness to it, I have it all ready for sale. I'm selling some of it locally already. Anyway, that's my first announcement. That's just a me sale. I'm selling my Crix because fuck Crix. Fuck the game.
Errata came out. And Errata came out. Fuck it.
I was kind of annoyed by the Errata because I was playing this for a couple weeks and I was kind of getting some stuff organized. And I saw the Errata. I'm like, what this fucking stupid timing.
Well, that now you have to agree with Keith.
Yeah, I have to agree with Keith. But so I'm selling my Crix and you should buy it. That's my first announcement. My second announcement is the second six-pack event will be on September 12th.
It's the fifth six-pack event.
The fifth six-pack event.
What did you say the number
was? The second
six-pack event?
We're starting it all over. It's all beginning again.
Do-overs.
Life is a circle.
When drop your worst 4 scores.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's an escalation event. It'll be very exciting.
Yeah, it should go by really quickly.
Yeah.
Nathan and I had a variation that we wanted to do for it, but you won't let us.
Not for that event.
It would be great.
Then on October 3rd, we'll go on your crazy idea later.
We'll forget about it.
I hope so. One can hope.
Mine like a steel trap.
And October 3rd is going to be the final six-pack event, and that one will be starting earlier, possibly dice rolling by 9 or 9:30 so we can get all the... Because there's going to be a ton of prizes at the end of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you've seen the logo we have, like the Wisconsin like Jack style, I'm making t-shirts. I'm ordering them this week. If you've been in the six-pack, I asked everyone like 5,000 times yesterday if I have their shirt sizes because I'm placing the order on Wednesday or Thursday. I got a big thing on Wednesday that might delay till Thursday. But I'm ordering the t-shirts this week. If you wanted a t-shirt and you weren't attending the six-pack and you were around here to get the shirts, it's $20 a shirt. Otherwise, if you've played at least 4 of the 6 events, it's a free t-shirt. And the logo's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it is. It's made by Florian Stintz.
Yeah, his RRI, so it's just a ridiculous.
Yeah, he does wonderful work.
Is that a Renegade or a...
It's just a labor jack.
Just a
labor jack with,
Probably closer to like a nomad slash mule.
Okay, yeah. Just looked like it was small to be
just carrying, a little cheese and kegs instead of like
weapons and whatnot. Gobbers.
Can we use that for everything else? Can I start putting that up on our website?
Just put that in everything. Well, it'll be used for multiple things, but for right now, it'll be in the shirt.
Yeah,
I think it would be cool to. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but I thought it would be cool to try and make a neat trophy.
Yeah,
like just convert something and try. I'm sure I can find a million goblins out there that'll fit that position. It'd be actually pretty sweet. I might start researching that.
Yeah, well, that'd be neat. So yeah, but those are all my only announcements. The important one is you should buy my Crix. It's being sold for cheap.
Well, I know I'll be able to pick up a lot of the stuff that probably won't move if you've got Revenant Crew Riflemen.
I do have Revenant Crew Riflemen.
Do you have a Revenant Crew Cannon?
I do have a Revenant Crew Cannon.
Boom!
That's like half my list of needs right
there. Some of the only unpainted models I have for Crix are my actual Riflemen. I have 6 of them, too. Like I bought Max FA. I have Max FA of everything. I have some things I have more than Max FA.
Yeah, that sounds like my trolls, but my Crix is getting to the point where it's just about capped out, and you might be my hooker for finishing it.
Yeah, no, I'll have a lot of it. I'm going to try to sell it locally for the first week or two, and then I'm going to switch to like some Facebook groups. Then I'll switch to Bartertown, and then eventually I'll switch to eBay and get rid of whatever's left.
I think Bartertown should be the easiest one to get rid of them.
Well, locally, then some Facebook groups to be in at this moment.
Well,
there's all sorts of community.
Again, considering the errata, you might not be able to get rid of it.
Yeah, no one's gonna buy those pistol race anymore.
Yeah, seeing Bartertown after the errata was just like selling Signar, selling Crix, selling Signar. Some guy's like, I'm selling my pistol race and my Gorman.
Really? Yeah, selling Gorman?
He's just selling Gorman and his pistol race. That's it. He's like selling, gone, just get rid of them, take them. I'll sell them for $1 apiece. And I'm just like, oh God, you people are just,
man, you're like, man, I wish I needed those. What an idiot.
Yeah, I only have 5 pistol race.
Well, I need all this money to buy more CG animatrixes.
Do you have any of the extras of the alternate sculpt?
I do. I have 3 of the new ones and 2 of the old ones.
Hmm.
I only have like 3 old ones.
Yeah, I think the only pistol race I have are 2 old ones, and I'd like to get just one to differentiate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually helpful.
You're just burping
for,
off
hit it back up for it. I want to burp into the mic.
So should we go into errata first or the 6-pack event?
Nathan, what does Nathan say?
No. Talk about the event first. I wasn't there. I'm a loser.
All right. So yesterday was yet another example of event where I have about 30 people signed up. I have about 28 to 30 people signed up. So I'm like, let's just set up enough for 32 people because you never know. And we get like 35 showing up. I got like 5 more than 5 or 6 more than signed up. Like 8 people came. It was like their first 6-pack.
Mm-hmm.
This happens to me too much. Other people, I mean, usually you have like the close to even or you lose a few, but I don't know why. I always end up with like plus people sometimes in my events.
Maybe next time you can do an express check-in.
Yeah. I'm just going to stop offering good prizes. I've stopped running fun events with good prizes.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the flaw.
We just get to come up under the pretense of playing War Machine, and then we get to see who Brian can kick in the balls harder.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was 5 rounds. It was just a 50-point event. Jordan, knack, knock, nick.
Knack.
Knack and nick. Dick knock.
Nick knock.
Knack, knack.
Yeah, knack, knack was Jordan what I was won. Looking for.
Jordan was victorious. Dan came in 2nd place.
Mm-hmm. I didn't actually pay attention to any of the standings because I was packing my car.
Travis got 4th. Someone else got 3rd. I haven't posted them online. I basically, the day after 6, sometimes I'll spend the Sunday after putting some of the standings online. Today I just sat at my computer desk. I tried to play a video game. I didn't have the energy to play a video game. I played Hearthstone for a bit on my iPad. That didn't work out well, so I smashed that. So that was done. So now I just basically sat at my computer desk.
Yeah. I had a pretty good time at the 6-pack. I lost 2 inches more often than I did anything else. I won't go through like a full battle report, but the one that was my highlight of the moment of that night was in the final round I was playing against Celeste. I think she's a New Berlin Waukesha person.
Yes.
And she was playing Bradagus, I was playing Runes. I was interested to see how the game went, but it ended up with an Earthborn that was raged getting into Bradagus. And I ended up at dice plus 6 on Bradagus and roasted him pretty hard. It was a fun time. It was a very eventful Everyone's assassination gone. Run. Well, not everyone. It's just you and me now.
I know. There's but 2 Bryans is like 1 person.
What do you want to talk about?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, what's up? It's the Bryan show.
Hey, let's give us.
I swear to God, the more I drink, the better I look.
One interesting thing on the event, you know, what was weird is this event, I'm like, if anyone wants to use pre-release models like Denny or Glacier King, feel free to use them at this event.
Fuck you.
And no one brought the models. I mean, Travis submitted a list with the models, and he changed his mind at last minute. He had his Denny 3 there painted. He submitted a Theme Force list, and then he pulled it out. I was completely letting people play whatever they wanted.
It got like 1,000 dicks for you to suck right now.
People could have proxied like the Crix Inflictor if they wanted. I mean, you could have proxied any model.
How about the Grolar? Yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, exactly. Yeah, that could have been
proxied
done.
Proxied anything. If it existed, and no one, not one person took me up on the offer.
Nope, I mean, I guess it was like one of those red light specials, and it just went off right away for some unknown reason. I mean,
everything was legal yesterday.
Yeah, cocksucker.
You know, I was trying to be friendly to people. I mean, it's mostly Travis's fault.
It mostly is. There was the spread for this event in Madison looked a little bit different than what it usually does. I think it was probably because we had more like Midwestern people instead of just Wisconsin people.
We had We had a bigger turnout of Chicago than we had the last few events. We had a good turnout from a lot of the neighboring areas.
Yeah, it's been pretty legit. I think we because I'm used to being the only or maybe one of two troll players, and there were five, and Scorn was also one that was just as contested.
Five Scorn players, and the trolls, three of you had the same winning record at the end of the day. So yeah,
that was just and I swear, do fantastic. You,
like, because Do You says best of factions, but then when it lists, like, if there's multiple people with the same amount of wins, it lists the three people, but not in any particular order.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, search through the actual standings to see who actually is the top, who actually placed, ended up higher in the review. Keeps me on my toes. But yeah, you pulled out the trolls, right?
Say again?
You pulled out the troll coin, right?
No, I didn't. That was Jeremy.
Jeremy did.
Yeah, Jeremy got it because I have zero. He probably had a way better strength of schedule than I did.
Although he did have the exciting of having, he had the only draw of the day because they had the death clock.
Was it a draw or a loss?
It was a loss. I mean, it was a draw. A draw is a loss.
Draw into a loss, yeah.
Yeah, he had, it was the last game of the day and they were going and I'm not sure if they must have started a few minutes late, but yeah, whatever happened, they got the death clock. But he still managed. He was winning the game, and then they death clock, but he still won the coin. So
yeah,
he still got the prize at the end of the day for his faction.
He did, and had his little celebration.
Yeah,
it was also funny because four of the five troll players were playing, had at least one list in common. There was runes as far as the eye could see. I think Davis was the only one not playing runes. He was playing Borkatu and Kalandra out of theme. So that is interesting. I had to play runes on runes once, and that was a game of a 32nd inch. I had stripped Mulk completely off of all the buffs. The Stone Bear was out of the aura, or the aura was down and all that. So it was my Palpless Strength 21 Mulk going into an Armor 19 Mulk, and I just came up shy. The one other funny thing, I don't want to dwell on this one, but Casey will hate me for this.
She seemed angry.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
She was, well, John will tell her, I'm sure. I popped Doomy's feet. She was playing Saren theme.
Oh.
And she had a Nephilim Bloodseer, and she put it into the Earthborn and wanted it, and she's like, she waffled back and forth on wanting to boost the damage, and I was like, okay, well, you know, you take a D6, and I had it ready. I was shaking it, being all like, come on, do it. So she did it. I rolled for the damage, and it was like 6 to 4, your body's out. So the boost, like, just went down to 2 dice. It was an amazing moment. And I was, then when I explained to her what happens when your body's out, she was like, really? Like, yep, you're just 2 dice. You boosted and do 2 dice. Have fun with that. She was so pissy. That was so amazing. Best game ever.
Yeah, no, there was all sorts of shenanigans. We had no. This is the first time that we didn't have every faction represented. There was no Convergence player this time. So it was the first event we didn't have.
Nathan was at work.
He was working.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we've had anybody other than Nathan playing Convergence there.
Most factions have had competition. The only two that have never had competition have been, well, Mercs have never had competition, and either has.
I know Minions might have had, they had one.
Minions usually have a couple.
Yeah. I know there was at least one where there were two Minions.
Well, for
players.
A while, we'd have like 4 or 5 Mercs. Everyone wanted to ride the easy terrain of the Earthbreaker, Thor, whatever combination. Yeah. Oh, I won a game. I'm so good at this game. I played Earthbreaker and Thor.
Nobody even brings that anymore. I haven't seen it in a long time.
And it's interesting because the list hasn't lost any momentum at all.
I got bored of winning all my games.
Well, I'm not allowed to play in the 6-packs, so that's it's not that I would bring Earthbreaker Thor, but
I got so close. Mini Market had their crazy summer sale, and they were selling Earthbreakers for $77, and I was like, I want one so bad.
Yeah.
I also saw multiple Siege Animatrixes.
Yeah, there was some interesting errata stuff. There was a guy who was playing Haley 3. And there's another Haley 2-player post-errata. There were no body and soul, I don't think. I think they just decided to throw the towel in. And then
we didn't have a lot of local body and soul players, though. We had a little bit of that, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was never in our area that big of a thing beforehand.
Travis was the only one that played it generally.
Yeah, and I played it a little bit, but Dan did a little bit, but no one really focused on it.
Dan was playing Legion this time too.
Yeah, he kind of he flops around a bit, it seems. But at least he consistently flops around.
We forgot to mention, too, that I don't know if you guys mentioned while I was off in emergency, but Travis did screw Dan out of possibly winning. And for.
Dan needed to borrow models, and Travis was going to bring him the models. Dan had a very good anti-Crix list that he had built up, but he for some reason he didn't own all the models he needed. and Travis was supposed to borrow them to him, but then he didn't, so Dana changes this up. Of course, at the end of the day, he gets in the championship match versus Cricks and doesn't have this list. But, you know, if Dan would buy his own shit, maybe he wouldn't have that kind of problem.
That's yeah. true.
So or, you're Cricks, or Dan could just buy my Cricks and have more Cricks. It won't solve his Legion problem, but it'll solve my having Cricks problem.
So you're telling me that Dan needed a model for his anti-Cricks list, so he asked the shifty Cricks player
yeah,
to bring his anti-Cricks exactly. model.
And for some reason, he forgot it.
I tell you, he already called. He said, Travis was like, I'm going to bring that Cricks coin home. He knew because Dan wasn't going to screw him out of it.
Yeah.
But then Jordan did.
And I guess Travis got, I mean, because Travis took on Jordan and he got, I guess he got his caster to like a 3 hit points or something. So he got a close run on him. But he needed like a decent dice. I guess he was going for kind of a rough assassination.
So what two casters was Jordan playing for this time
around? He was playing Gaspy One theme.
Yep.
And then something else.
Gorshade 2.
Gorshade 2.
Theme. He had a Kraken and it might have been Gorshade. Is Gorshade 2 allow pistol wraiths in the army?
Not in a theme.
Because he had a Kraken, a shit ton of Banes, 2 pistol wraiths.
Might have been out of theme then. It was probably out of theme.
Then I wonder what the fuck he brought with a Kraken.
I don't know. Maybe it was just there. I mean, I don't know. He might have.
It looked like a Gasp. It looked like a Gorshade 2 list, and then I saw pistol wraiths, so now it's all coming back.
Well, I never played Gorshade 2 in theme.
I played it a few times. I enjoy it. It's not a bad list.
It's just a relaxed Pathfinder. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. I hear you. But I've been playing. I guess, never mind. I've been playing. Kalandra doesn't like Pathfinder, but those are my lists. I'm just going to ride throughout the entirety of the 6-pack, I'm pretty sure. Because I can't play my fucking Glacier King.
Until 2016.
Yeah, or 2017 at this rate.
I told him last weekend it was a free.
Yeah, a free for all. I found out Brian told us that we can play those
all
things.
All miles were allowed last weekend. I mean,
Travis got his list accepted, right?
Yeah, everything was allowed, I said. And, you know, life.
Yeah, I feel bad. It's either Jeremy or I missed Travis putting in Denegra 3 into the piles.
I allowed it. You guys, he's like, because Travis when we pulled it out. He's like, I was just kidding, guys.
I want to jump over this table so bad what? Right now. Just fucking kill you. I'll shove that.
Save me, late.
Shove that Glacier bug. King up your ass.
It's cat bug. God damn it.
It's cat bug, Nate.
I don't know what a cat bug is. This is a ladybug.
See, it's half cat.
That is
half,
a ladybug.
Half. Ladybug.
No, it looks like Toadstool's hat.
Yeah.
But with the blue power-up. I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
So we are officially in Nathan time already. Nathan said he'd be here by 6:30.
What a son of a bitch.
Well, you know, when we end this in 50 minutes, maybe he'll be here.
Possibly.
Was there anything else, any other highlights at the event?
We were trying to vamp for, because Nathan wanted to be here when we were actually talking about the errata. So yeah. I'm trying to vamp up to that point, but we're kind of running out of steam.
We're talking, yeah. We people played War Machine and Hordes.
I did have my first round. I'll go through the rest of my rounds. Fuck it. You guys get to listen to it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so first round I got to play against Minions and good old Rick. Yep, look at your phone. Play your Candy Crush. Give no shits. I ended up taking the role to go first.
Oh.
And I chose my list, and then he chose his list.
Whoa.
Then we deployed them. So I played runes into Maelok is what.
Their sound was happening. What's happening?
What are you doing here?
I'm trying to stop.
Are you
trying to stop this by causing it to reverb back to himself? And then you're like, fuck, I can't talk anymore because I can hear myself talk.
You're such a pain in the ass. Oh, no.
I was double checking the stream.
Whatever.
Jerk. I was.
So Maelok didn't bring any heavies, and I was eliminating gators. It was slow going, but I eliminated them, and then when I feeded, he was like, okay, I can double revive and do malediction, and I just picked up like 6 dice on my feet turn, and he was like, whoa, wait, it's for each fury? And I'm like, yep. So one revive happened, and I almost killed Maelok just off of the feet, and then I just attritioned for the rest of the game when I probably could have assassinated him, but I'm over it. As I said, round two was against Mr. Aaron playing runes. And a 32nd of an inch got me. I'm over it.
Three, and he made it to the fourth run undefeated.
Yeah, he was piloting Runes of War only. And then I was like, okay, if this is your first time playing Runes of War, or second time because the first round happened, I was like, I'm going to help you. And I might have helped him too much by saying, okay, the way you beat Runes is the person who kills Mulg first wins.
Yeah.
And then I was like, heck, because I couldn't kill his Mulg first, and I'm just so pissy, but I'm over it now. I've learned to cope.
Yeah, done. Some of those matchups when you got trolls. It does seem to be who kills whose troll, whose mog dies first. Really is.
It's because the reach is so important in that game because Janessa throws the walls out, and sure the Earthborn and the Dire Troll Mauler can get there, but Mulg is the one who gets there the most often. He's got Fortune, he's Mat 7, and he's typing with a smug face. I don't trust you anymore.
For time, and we should talk about poop.
I don't trust you
anymore. And I was telling them secretly, the audience, that that's what I just did.
Okay, you talked about poop.
So, yeah. Okay. If you want to talk about
poop. But now it's not a secret anymore.
No, it's no secret
poop. High class for that.
We pierced the veil. So, at the end, I was 1-1. I'm like, okay, I can just battle myself through the top again. But then Brian or Douyu was just pleasant enough to me to pair me up against Chicago Chad with Cro-Mac 2. Mm-hmm. And that caster with that pairing makes me want to flip tables so bad. I just can't deal with it. So the caster I have the most problem with those lists, the one that I want to dodge the most, is the one I get, and it's probably one of the best circle players that I've been exposed to, at least. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fair solid assumption.
Eventually, when we can get Chad and Katie into the same room for a weekend, we can have a circle cast.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
It should.
I can see Chad coming here, but I can't see Katie.
Yeah.
Katie's face completely out. She's closed her Facebook page down. She wants...
Wait, what?
She's done. She wants to interact with people at the cons, but otherwise, leave the fuck alone.
She posted a thing the other day.
Yeah, she's out.
Whatever.
She's out.
She just wants to be exclusive.
Yeah.
Whatever. I see how it is.
But she'll still be at War Machine Weekend. She'll still be in the board game room all weekend playing games.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it to War Machine Weekend this year.
What?
Yep.
Why?
What?
I just, I'm working on trying to do Adepticon instead.
Dude, but what?
So, yeah. Adepticon is like for 6 months after that.
Maybe I need to work. I'll try and do some shenanigans. Maybe I can still get to War Machine Weekend.
Why can't you make it to War Machine Weekend?
You're split room with John. Well,
Gen Con was so easy to go because they had a 3-check month. But then, like, War Machine Weekend is not a 3-check month.
But it's only like $200.
I know.
It's cheap.
It's
split room with John.
I'll have to bring a shit ton of beer, though, because that's usually what kills me on those trips.
That's also probably the most expensive part of the trip is
a shit ton of beer. Well, at least I can drink shitty beer and be okay with it, even though Miller Genuine Draft is amazing.
No.
Fuck you, beer machine.
No. We should have our own event. We should try it. You know, we should record a beer machine in the basement in our dungeon.
Yeah, that would be pretty legit. I've always wanted to play a beer machine tournament. I was more referring to the beer machine podcast that sits there and is like, oh, the nose of the beer is so good. Fucking kill me.
The what?
They're just a podcast based out of Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, when you're drinking your frou-frou beers... The first taste of it you get is called the nose.
Sure.
And then, like, the aftertaste, I don't know, it's the asshole or something. But they might know their beer and booze and be fancy, but...
If I was in the room with someone and they drank and they made some comment with the nose of the beer, I'd probably stab them in the throat until I was dragged away by the police.
I almost stabbed myself in the throat when I started listening.
I just cut myself now.
Oh, War Machine Talk is cutter. Fun.
And I'm Nathan.
Catbug.
He's the one. And welcome to episode 126.
The ladybug has gone away.
That's Catbug, god damn it.
This is a lady, I don't...
Stop fucking trolling me.
Would you like Cat a beverage bog. To cool down with?
Yeah, I'd like a two women.
Oh, one of the reasons why I brought two women with me too was because I played against two women in a War Machine event yesterday and I thought it was something to celebrate.
Historic. I brought a bunch of razor boards.
Fancy.
Don't let me forget. You're so beer we were talking about?
Well, I was
we
making
were just
fun of beer
going into the errata.
Yeah. Actually, we're on round four of my battle report.
We have a hard edit. We have a hard end of 7:30.
Well, right? You have a hard end.
Anyway.
Just a hard end.
Hard end.
Yeah.
Is that a butt joke?
No.
Errata's the best thing ever, and I love you, Privateer Press. And right now there's an idiot on the message boards on the Muse forums, and he's being stupid, and it's great.
Stop touching Catbug. Just let Catbug sit there.
Catbug is my second favorite ladybug.
Who's your first?
Dennis Leary.
Ah.
Works.
Yeah.
Just picked up my beer.
Are you shocked I had a valid answer to that?
No. But I'm not shocked that I know exactly who that is. That movie is amazing. It's got Tuck and Roll in it.
Yes. Yeah. Anytime you make that movie, it's good. Three Amigos, great. Bug's Life, great. Galaxy Quest, great. That movie is always great.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great plot.
You know who needs to be in movies more? Or go back to Whose Line Is It Anyway? Is it Michael McShane?
Yeah, Mike McShane.
Yeah, he needs to go back to Whose Line Is It Anyway. I don't care if he's really, really fat. He just needs to go back.
Yeah, I'm just assuming he has massive health issues. Like, because it's an enormously obese man who suddenly stopped working. I thought he was dead until he was in Office Space. And then I thought he was dead again until now. I don't know. He might be dead. I have no idea.
I think hopefully he doesn't die now.
We had that discussion about Simon and Garfunkel the other day. Whether they were dead or alive.
I don't know whether it's true or not, but I once heard that the reason they broke up is because Art Garfunkel thought that Paul Simon was holding him back.
Does he not realize that he's Art Garfunkel?
Or that's Paul Simon?
Exactly.
It's like Ringo leaving the Beatles, like, you're holding me back. I've got Thomas the Tank Engine money.
He's got caveman money as well.
He's got caveman money.
Yep.
So Errata.
Errata was great. I agree with every single change they made for that Errata.
One thing I want, we talked about this before. Yes. I want Morgul 2's feet back from Mark 1.
Yeah, if you can shake blind, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal that he has.
And it's very analogous to Sorsha 1. You know, so it's Sorsha 1's feet, but 4 inches less.
Yeah, but less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still less, but I mean, it blind is, you know, it's...
Yeah.
I don't think it's really that detrimental. If they would have had that originally at Mark II as part of the plate testing where you could shake blind, I could bet you that his feet would have stayed just the same.
Yeah, he probably lost his feet because blind was way too good.
Mm-hmm.
And now blind is shakeable, so it isn't way too good. So, yeah.
I think one of the things that I like most about it is the fact that my Mountain King now isn't an auto-include in any of my lists, but it sure as shit is getting dusted off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that about it.
The Siege Antimantrix.
Yeah, that thing got hoisted on a pedestal, I think.
Yeah.
It's acceptable now.
It went from being argued as the worst battle engine to
it's
pretty damn close to being top.
It's number five.
I think it was so much the worst battle engine that it was no longer in contention for the worst. It was just accepted that it was worst. And whenever anyone said, what do you think is the worst battle engine? It just wasn't in anybody's minds because it's like that kid you lock under your stairs because his father was a drunk and he's redheaded.
Harry Potter? Not counting the Siege Animatrix was assumed as being included in that sentence.
Yeah, it was just like there was just no reason. Nap. No, yeah. Nobody was talking about it. They're like, I guess the gun carriage isn't that great. Siege strategies or the Siege Animatrix doesn't exist.
Like,
I mean, the one store had it on sale for like $30 or $20, and people are like, "Well, I don't want to waste $20."
Yeah, because it was a waste of $20.
And now I would probably pay $20 for it.
Well, it's funny, after the Errata had hit, it was right in the middle of Mini Market Summer Sale, and Mountain Kings were $62. So I went over there. I'm like, I'll pick up my second one finally. I can finally run like Kalandra Double Mountain King. And then I get there. I'm like, yep, it's gone. Of course.
Yeah.
I was the dumbass that bought Mountain Kings back in the day.
You had three Mountain Kings.
I had two. I had borrowed two for the big War Machine weekend thing.
Okay.
But now I can run a list that has two Glacier Kings, a Mountain King, and a Feral Geist.
As a 50-point list.
Yep.
It's kind of sexy.
I'm thinking about it.
I think with Gunnbjorn boosting all their ranged attack rolls.
Well, if it's Gunnbjorn, then I can't, because he's a plus five.
Yeah, but you just lose the Feral Geist. He's a five or six.
If he's a six, then I can do it.
If he's a five, you just drop the Feral Geist and whoop-de-doo.
No, that's with Doomshaper.
Oh, who's a seven. Gotcha. Who's a seven. So
I've already been playing Gunnbjorn.
I think Gunbjorn's a five, so because that's what's offensive about him to a lot of people, is that he's inexplicably a five.
For no reason. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So we got Haley feet change, which I think everyone has asked for that exact change.
Just remove the sentence.
Forever.
Yeah, you could probably go. You could probably go back many, many podcasts ago where we said that would be a thing we would want to see.
Yeah.
It's still a brutal feat. It's still going to hurt, but at least on your turn, you get to do things in the order you want.
According to many people on the internet, it's a super weak feat now, and she's unplayable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those people are what we call Hey, if I see less of her, I mean,
that's fine. But she still has a huge area effect that also affects unit slash model or model slash unit as well. Yeah,
slash unit. That's the thing.
So even if they're, you know, 20, the majority of the unit is like 22 inches away.
The big argument is always, well, no, like, no, but Lilith 2 will beat me now because she can just feet and then they get the plus in the range. They can stand and shoot me and I'll die.
Well, you're Haley, so you have a jack that threatened 75 inches, so maybe that should have killed the things that are in aiming range.
But it's sniping at plus 4 range.
You have deceleration, you have time bomb, you have a 2-foot threat range on a fucking Stormclad. Like, why are these things scary to you?
You still can't sack. You can't aim with...
Correct.
With
so
that
they
feet.
Can't even aim because they have to sack their movement. So they're minus 2 rat.
Yep.
And they're dead time bombed.
But they might roll a 6 and a 6 and a 6.
Yes, that's true.
Honestly, wasn't that how always was then with Haley 2?
Well, no, they would make the beast activate before they could feet.
Oh, yeah.
See, now she can feet to give them the snipe and the additional... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I won't argue that her feet isn't weaker. I will argue good.
Exactly. I mean, they really took out... What I saw as a theme for the errata, they took out a lot of things that forced... Kind of like a fuck you to your opponent.
Yeah.
For most of the things, like the chain attack death chill, that was changed to just a stationary rather than unshakable knockdown.
Did they change?
They should have changed its name to chain attack stationary because now people are confused that chain attack death chill does not inflict death chill.
Correct.
Well, that's the
death chill is still a thing, and Lilith 3 still has death chill. So he has chain attack death chill that causes stationary, and she has things that cause death chill.
All right.
It's like if somebody had chain attack knockdown and it caused blind.
When I first read it, I thought that it was changing death chill to that, so nope. She got nerfed, but she's still fine.
His ability that is called chain attack death chill just no longer causes death chill.
All right.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. They should have just changed it to chain attack stationary to prevent this confusion, but that just probably didn't occur to him.
Or just chain attack chili.
Chain attack chili.
Yep.
Delicious chili.
Dun, dun, dun. I was thinking chili winners.
I was too.
Let's shake it. Touché. I like the little shake it off thing they did.
The Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift with shake it off in the head. It had Gorman and the
Naga.
Right? Yeah, the Naga.
I did not see this.
It was pretty good
stuff. I need to see this.
It is good. It also seems after looking at all of those that a lot of, especially when you take into effect, Gorman was one of them too. You're looking at the major things that really lock down huge bases.
Yeah.
And with the Devastation book coming, I think it's Devastation coming, it seems like that's a good theme to say, okay, well, now we have buffed the ones that needed to get buffed, in quotes. But we've taken away some of the things that lock them down. Like, if I had a Mountain King that was getting death chilled all the time, I'd fucking hate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I never played
it. There's Warwitch Sirens just stabbing your Defense 7 Colossals every turn.
Yep.
You know.
Oh, that wasn't as bad as they can reach hit her back, but it's like with the non-reach jacks, like Ravagor or something.
Sure, that's
what it really got.
So, well, you know that this is just a giant conspiracy for, you know, that $112 model can stop your $150 model, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a massive conspiracy.
Massive conspiracy. Yeah. It's
obviously because they hate the WTC.
Yeah.
They timed it this
way. They hate the WTC and they want to make money.
Not only the hilarious thing is... So I
do feel bad for the WTC, right?
You know what? Oh, I feel bad. All those people try to take their gimmicky body and soul list and their gimmicky Haley list. Let me generate a cheer. Nope, I can't.
I did the math, and 24 of the 29 Signar players of the WTC had Haley 2 in their list. And I was like, 24 to 29, that's fucking bullshit. And then somebody pointed out that the 5 people who didn't had teammates that did, which means literally every single Signar player who could take Haley 2 did. So that ain't good for the game. Fuck you.
Certainly is. What made it even a little more ridiculous is that not only did that happen with the same announcement, they also had because it was supposed to come out like 10, 15 days ago, but they had printer problems and editing problems, so it got delayed a little bit longer because of the Simon Pulse, the Rado was
for privateer.
The Rado was going to come out a little bit earlier, but they just had some internal problems. They always delay, I mean, just shit happens. But the Insider that also got published the same day, which is also written up days and days or weeks ahead of time, called out how they don't make a write of changes around major events. And of course, so not only did they make a write of change around a major event, they came up with Argos saying they don't make a write of changes around major events. It was just kind
just
of
saying you don't count. You're nothing to us.
And then of course the major event was this was one of the biggest errata. This is as big as a circle errata for other factions. This is huge.
Yeah.
The company, I don't know, it just seems like they're looking at the game, in my opinion, has been a little stale-ish, and these kind of changes take it away, because now when you limit the control casters a little bit, it lets people do things.
Yeah.
And it turns out doing things with your army is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're allowed to, like, do things, and they're letting, you know, so.
That's, and I can't remember if I've talked about this on air or just winked it in forums and stuff like that. I've probably talked about the air, but oh well.
But not.
Exactly. Okay, cool. We got it. Go on.
I don't know.
there's the web series Extra Credits that talks about game design, specifically video games is its main thing. And one of their episodes that I absolutely love, because it pertains for all gaming, is that when they talk about counterplay. Have we talked about this?
Yeah, you,
okay.
There
are I'll summarize it, but the point is like that if you have a control ability if you have any ability at all in your game that one player can do, the player on the receiving end of it should not have their enjoyment negatively affect by it.
Yeah.
They are, you know, it's hitting them in the game, but they should enjoy being on the receiving end, even if it's a bad thing. And they're saying, like, debuffs and control things at their worst should be like a puzzle, where you're like, oh, well, I was blinded now. How do I get around it? Mm-hmm. You know, now my game is actually enhanced, not degraded, because instead of just being like, well, this fucking sucks, I'm like, oh, okay, well, here's the puzzle to solve. And Haley 2's feat was not that.
No.
Being fucking blinded, you know, having your colossal blinded every turn was not that. But correct. Now it is. Now it still sucks, but you can do something about it. And yeah, it hit you hard, but it's not a negative play experience. It's just a hit in the game itself. And that's a huge difference.
Another thing about the WTC deal is it's going to be interesting to see if the nerf to casters that are pretty good portion, I won't say half the field, but it's pretty close, at least, I think. And just to see, like, what kind of lists rise up from that, like, now that the stuff that really hurts them is down on the, is lower on the food chain, that there might be some new lists that come out that people try and carbon copy, and find some new interesting options.
The only thing I would feel bad at for a person at WTC that was locked into something was someone who took I didn't look enough, because I don't care that much about WTC. I mean, it's a cool event, and it's neat to have these big teams, but in the end, it's not that special. I mean, I know it's supposed to be the greatest thing in the world. You're supposed to all, like, bow down to it, whatever.
It's like the Olympics. It's neat to know it's happening, and you'll root for your country out of habit, but you don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, that things would change. But it's neat to look at these lists. And I love the format of the 5 versus 5 and how you pick a teammate. Like, that element, I think, is cool, and I wish that happened more often, like even in the U.S. I wish that was kind of a format of an event. Like, that's neat to me. But I do feel bad for any Haley 3 player who did take, like, an all-merc list, because that was the one thing. Like, a Haley 2 player, a list is still going to play the same way. Gorman's still going to blind things. But if someone had, like, a Haley 3 list with all mercs, that synergy is just no longer exists. So that's the only person. I don't even know if that list exists.
Locally, Zach, I believe it was Zach, right, that was Haley 3.
Yeah.
He runs a pretty much all Signar list.
Yeah.
Because he does the whole trenchers moving back out of their own clouds, reviving the cavalry and everything. Yeah. So he wasn't affected, but I don't know about other metas.
So I'm not familiar with... I just have the cards for Haley 3, but I don't look at them.
Just look at War Room.
I tried to look up Haley 3 in War Room. Yeah. I couldn't find her, unfortunately.
They have her there now, I do believe.
No, they don't.
They have to redesign War Room from the screen.
They literally are going to release War Room 2.0 just so they can get her in there.
Yeah. If it doesn't have full, I swear to God, I'm going to break the world.
The defense stat is going to be on the damage screen, like I've been asking for. So that's good.
So one of the things I was wondering is, for her ability, was it just... What was it always? Was it just like a wording discrepancy for her?
They changed two wordings. Ability? The issue before was that it didn't affect herself, because it said models within, I think it's 5 inches of members of this unit get +2 defense, and because of the normal core rules of the game, you are never within X inches of yourself. Mm-hmm. So the Haleys, unless they were within 5 inches of each other, didn't benefit from it. Okay. So the errata fixed that. It said members of this unit and friendly faction. Sure. That's the word, but that wasn't in there the previous time. So, and so people were like, is that a mistake? Because they changed the one thing that was an obvious, just an error. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she was supposed to benefit from her own spell, but the word faction being shoved in there randomly, people weren't expecting. And so that's why there was all the hubbub about it.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, it's probably how they originally meant her to maybe, come out, yeah. too. Well, I mean, it's the, not like
or, it's I mean, been it's in good print for, that long. They, I do think that more Signar stuff needs to be friendly faction because... Even the Signar players get annoyed at taking a lot. Like the really like the ones who like win at all costs and everything. That you know they you take what you take to win, and I'm not begrudging that. But it's been a complaint amongst a lot of Signar players that they feel that they're forced to take a lot of mercs, and like true players mm-hmm. are the ones that don't have to. And so by taking friendly faction stuff, it'll encourage them to take. Yeah. You know,
well, when your base stats are like 12, 15, and speed 5 or whatever, it's yeah. it's hard to swallow that sometimes.
It is. It is.
So I get, and then it's obviously also not cheap. But you think for that stat line, it would come, you get a cheap point cost, but then it's, you know, then God forbid they get speed 6 and the price just goes, you know, yeah. whatever.
Yeah. Well, reflecting on the Haley 3 list that I know of, she never really played with a lot of mercs in the first place, just because Revive is friendly faction only, and that's kind of like her big woo. So it was always like your Storm Lances and Trenchers.
People like the pirate boat.
People are mad because they pre-ordered Acosta. Exactly. And now they can't run that one guy.
Acosta is the big problem. It's like, okay, so he's not a tank on his own. Now you want to like pitch a fit about Haley 3 not buffing him to almost unkillable.
Yeah.
The other, I mean, I guess I can see some of the high defense units like taking Nyss Hunters or something yeah. and getting them up to defense 17 mm-hmm. and whatever, but...
I know another big complaint outside of Haley was a lot of Crix players. There was a lot of people who were like, okay, Denny got hit. You know, I hate it, but whatever. But there's almost more complaint about the pistol. Like, Pistol Race are worthless now. I'm throwing all mine out.
Pistol Race and War.
Pistol Race have shifted.
Yeah. It's a shift. Like, I don't think it's better yeah. or worse.
And I never... I didn't use my Siren to do the death... I mean, I would occasionally go in there for the debuff. Man, she's match 5. She misses so much anyway that I'd use her for her other 75 abilities.
Yeah, she's got mm-hmm. the fucking spray. Like the
power booster. The seduction, power booster. Yeah. I mean, I would occasionally shadow bind something, but that was actually had 17 abilities, and it still will stay. You know, you stationary something now, its defense is auto hit and melee.
The pistol wraith to me, like stationary, is kind of huge because you can use it as an assassination tool yeah, now.
Mm-hmm. The pistol wraith is offensive instead of a control
right. piece. Yep. And, I mean, and people are like, well, it's only rat 7, but yeah. the thing is. The counterpoint is he can boost that rat 7 mm-hmm. and then their counterpoint is yeah but that means he had to get souls, which means he had to die. And of course the counterpoint is soul trappers are coming out mm-hmm. so your pistol wraith can dick around being incorporeal, and then you go, here's 3 souls, and he's stationary as a caster.
Yeah, he could stay protected behind a wall the entire time as an incorporeal model.
Yeah,
and then also
what's his defense?
14.
So behind a wall, he's an incorporeal 18, just sitting there jerking off all game.
Yep.
And then you give him 3 souls, and at 18 boosted... 18
inches deadly.
Yeah, at 18 inches threat range with boosted rat 7s to stationary a caster yep. is good?
Yes.
Worst case scenario, he only hits, you know, maybe he doesn't get all 3, so he only hits the first 2, and that's still, you know, power 12
even,
going yeah. to
somebody. Even then, if you're running with, like, Denegra, if she pops her feet, that's even a lower defense on there. That can even hurt it even more. Yeah. It's just
I did see someone saying that they wish that like he was like the snow wizard guys in Kador were like
the cold unlord.
Each hit was minus 2, and mm-hmm. then if he got both, then he could chain for stationary. That way, if you miss one of the regular shots, you still get something. And I guess I can see that, but on the other hand. Boosted 7s. I mean, I'm not sad for you.
Yeah, the Cold Unlord and Turnians are unboostable 7s and 6s.
Right.
So,
I mean, I could get the point, but the ability to just shove 3 souls onto him from a soul trapper exactly. and then go for it is huge to me.
Yeah, the soul trapper, I think the one thing you're going to see with Crix is you're going to see even more Denny 1. Because Denny 2 is still good. I mean, she's also more of an offensive beast than a cook. But even ignoring body and soul, the big thing that I would do with so many of my wins was Denny 2, Nightmare, plus an irrelevant army. Feet to get to a caster where I had Nightmare in a position where the following turn Nightmare would just kill the caster.
Yeah.
Like, I won so many games. And then
he walks through a building because people forget he can do that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've won such a huge percentage of games.
Yeah, he can just walk through buildings.
Yeah. Ghost walk.
His imprint is spend a focus, walk through whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. So people would be literally on the other side of a building, and Brian would just go, "Well, you're my prey. Walk 8 inches through that building and murder your face." Yeah.
So that's the one thing, you lose the hold in place and assassin the next turn, because obviously they're going to shake it and get the safety, which is fine. But now you lock it down and you just fuck the army as bad. You go for the attrition style feat instead of the assassination style. You got to change play style.
Her feat was 100% unaffected against 90 to 99% of your opponent's armory.
Yeah.
Army. Between 1 and 4, maybe higher if it's a horde swarm of beast lists, but in most lists, between 1 and 4 models were changed. The rest of their army is still fucked.
And if War Machine is having to shake 3 or 4 models, that's 3 or 4 extra. Yeah. That's a lot of focus not being used.
Even
for other
hordes, a heavy having to shake is one less attack out of them.
Now, when you shake, do you shake everything, or does it shake per effect?
Per effect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you shadow bind them and blind them and Haley and Denny feed on them, they have to shake 3 times to get rid of all 3.
Knockdown.
Whatever. But knockdown, the more you stack.
You can stationary, then 2.
So it's not just 1 to get rid of all. It's 1 per
each thing takes a focus.
Or shadow bind, though? If a War Witch Siren shadow binds you.
Oh, you're right.
And Denny feeds to shadow bind. It's just 1.
You're
just
right.
One.
So bad
but,
example.
But blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blind, stationary, shadow bind, that's 3 things that happen.
Knockdown to 4th. And
incorporate them. Or Death Chief.
You can't shake Incorporeal.
You can't shake Death Chill.
Not Death. I meant, freeze.
But it,
stationary.
Yeah.
Words.
Stationary.
Buy my Crix, everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry, let's go back to that.
Well, I thought Andy was getting a Crix for assembling your Scorn Beast, I was getting him for sucking your dick.
Well, that's going to help. He gets my 1 unit of things.
Just 1 unit?
I should get the whole army. Those scarabs are fucking horrendous.
It's like expensive. It's like 14 models, 15 models.
24 models.
Yeah, exactly.
The scarabs.
They're painted, so it's like double.
That's some 20, high class stuff.
14 nicely painted Banes. They're very beautiful.
True story, bro.
But they're not truly Banes because they're black Banes.
Yeah. But they're kick-ass black Banes.
Oh, that whole debacle. And we're like, Siege Brisbane would qualify from a curse because he was a Bane.
McBane?
So stupid. Yeah. No, he's spelled different. That's
he's spelled differently. Yeah.
But Brisbane was B-A-N-E in there. Yeah, there was some weird shit.
Hold on. I'm going to get something.
Okay. We'll fill the void.
All right. Someone sent me a message.
I'm going to look at the chat while you're gone. I can't see it from here. What? Oh, you hear that, chat? He says you're useless and
nothing
you say is worth
noting. I get messages. People are buying my stuff.
So in Huge Base World, I thought there was... the Archangel has got a different Animus.
Its Animus is better.
I don't think it... I don't think it fixes it, though, because if there's something within 2 inches of the Archangel, it probably wants to kill it and set it on fire.
It's everything within 2 inches on fire now, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me walking up into an area, spending 1 to set all that shit on fire, and then murdering, like, a heavy. Like, if there's a bunch of infantry and a heavy...
Yeah, if there's infantry cluttered around, I can see
that. Not doing it to set a thing on fire, but...
I guess I just, in living in the troll world, I send like a heavy in to kill it, an Archangel, and that just doesn't make sense to me. But I guess in a world of like Banes attacking it or something, that way you kind of maximize what you're doing. I do like that they tried to buff those things and make them better, because it just really is nice to be able to take those good models and work with them.
Was it the 2 rounds ago where they gave Rias Reach? That was like the first actual, let's tweak a model. And people are like, whoa, that's kind of weird, but like whatever. And then right after that, they said Circle, take this, and now they're like, boom, shit's real.
Yeah.
Because now when it's a riot time, people are going to be like, what the fuck's going to happen?
Exactly.
Like now every riot is like, people are going to be like, holy shit, what's happening now?
It's not just a clarification.
Yeah, no, now things are happening. It does make the cards sort of a pain in the ass more than ever.
It does. That was one of the things that I saw that I would appreciate, because I do not utilize War Room. I have a tablet, and it runs fine, but I just really fear the crashing and what it could do to the game state for me.
I will never use War Room to report games. I use War Room to build lists and reference stuff, but I will never use it as like an actual game resource.
Exactly. I won't do that. Just because I'll use my cards, and there are a few that I play with that do not have their erratas reflected, and it does get a little painful when you hand it to your opponent and they read it, because it's the first time they've seen it and they have no idea what's going on. So it would be nice to see new cards, but I do like the approach that Privateer Press is taking. It seems like it's more of like a like Magic the Gathering, when they started changing words on cards. They never really reprinted them until they got like reprinted if they got into one of the core sets in quotes like they have now, but it is nice to know that they're acknowledging that they see the problems and they're doing something to fix them to make the game more enjoyable.
At a certain point, I do think they need to just make a pack. Yeah. You know, like once they get to like 50 models that have been affected, which they might already be up near there, but like once they get to that many models, just print the pack, charge us $5-$10, and just let us replace our cards.
I also hope that they don't get, I know that this Privateer Press probably has a very rigorous playtesting process, or I'd like to think they do. I just hope they don't get like power drunk over like, we can change cards now and people accept it and it's fine, and then start doing things that like don't really need to be done. That's probably something that I would be a little bit afraid of.
They're pretty slow and cautious. They're going to be there. They'll always take this almost too slow route sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Are they even, like, what should I say? If they print a new Gatsby 2 card now because they're, you know, making a new Gatsby 2 to ship out to a store, his card is still wrong.
Yeah, it's still,
because they're still using the old, like they don't print new cards that have the errata even years after the errata.
Correct.
Weird.
It would be nice if they would maybe even just have like a seasonal errata release. Like, you know, in December they would have, you know, a release that would be 2015, and this would be everything that was affected by the errata.
Well, that was even a thing that people asked, and we might talk about this, I swear to God, like 100 episodes ago, where we were like, it'd be so cool if every year, couple of years, it'd say, instead of, because Mark II is pretty goddamn solid. Like, there's not, in a lot of ways, there's no, like, when end of Mark I, things were falling off the rails end of Mark I. They were there. I mean, that was kind of Mark I's charm, but at the end, it was out of control. But Mark II is such a core baseline because you have the order of activation is so clear. Yeah, everything is laid out in such a good form. All you constantly need to do is make the cards better based on the environment. So like,
none of the issues right now are with the core game. Yeah. They're with specific models.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, even if there was a Mark III or Mark 2.5, really, I would want the exact same core system, just with upgraded, all everything updated to some new thing. I wouldn't almost want anything of the basic rules reset.
Yeah, some of the terrain rules I'd like to
see. Terrain rules would be the one area that I would like to see.
Shallow water.
Water in general, really, because I mean, like, when
heavy water's irrelevant. They can do whatever they want with the heavy water rules. You'll never see it deep ever water, on
exactly,
any,
and that's the problem.
Water. Yeah, deep water.
It's heavy water, man.
It's like heavy rain. Was it Chubby Rain? Was that the movie in Bowfinger?
Jesus,
I got you, suckers.
What happened? All right, it's what's next? More Rata shenanigans? I don't know.
Oh, you got the point. Every single Rata was good.
Yeah,
we don't need to go over what they are. People know by now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all four of us like everything they did.
I was so mad on Wednesday because it was Thursday. No, it was Thursday when the Rata hit?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Because Wednesday I lost a game. I mathed it out anyway, and it turned out I wouldn't have gotten it done. But Wednesday I had an anticlimactic end to a game because their caster moved up into a dangerous position for me to counter assassinate, and then they crit shadowbound me, so I couldn't even go for it. And so the next day I could have shaken it.
You said crit shadowbind. Was that from a free strike or
no? It was on his turn. He got a crit shadowbind on me with a naga. A naga charged my caster and shadowbound her, so she couldn't charge his caster.
Yeah.
Next day I could have done it.
That morning I wrote up such a good troll Facebook post. I was so proud of it. I was getting some attention. I had poked all the right bears. I was getting some hits. It was going well. I was going to soak the entire day off of my post, and then the errata hits like an hour later, and my post. It's like, son of a bitch. It just ruined my trolling. Because then, of course, I got into some discussions with some of our more charismatic ex-players on Facebook, which is amazing.
Pagani's post.
It was his Facebook feed, and then me and someone got in sort of a weird discussion, and then a billion people jumped onto it, and it was amazing. The internet was amazing.
It was. No, so I brought that book up here because I wanted you to be annoyed by their dice explanation.
I was annoyed by that paragraph, and then the second paragraph, I was less annoyed because they admit, because this book uses the word dice as a singular, and it says it admits that die would be proper, but they're lazy and just use the one word all the time for ease of rules.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it more confusing, but yeah. Because at least if you say roll a die, it's exactly specific.
Well, they say in that book there they don't use die because there's a lot of things that die.
Die, yes.
In the dead zone.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Do we have any zappities?
I don't think we have. We
definitely had several. They were in my pockets, were shaking on the way here.
There were some on Twitch.
If I didn't work today, I was going to just get my answer for all 48 that guy did last week for you, but then I didn't.
It's a fair counterpoint.
I listened to, like, the first 30 minutes of your guys' episode last week, and then I stopped.
I'm sorry.
Why would you have started?
It's so weird hearing people talk about you when you're not there.
Yeah, it is. It makes you feel a little warm.
Kind of interesting. Yeah. Well, it was mostly bad.
Nate, have you seen? I'm gonna preface this one right now. Have you seen last week's episode of Rick and Morty?
No,
I don't think the parasite episode.
The most recent one I saw was the multiple being.
That's the second one.
That's the third episode of the season. So I think there's been more since then.
Okay. So I'm not going to mention one of the questions that's on here.
Because it's a spoiler?
Because it
whatever. Fuck it.
All right. Well, actually, was Mr. Poopy Butthole a parasite?
That was a hilarious end of the episode.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll have to watch the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watch it.
Yeah, that's fine. Raylene's closing. I got nothing to do for the next 2.5 hours.
We can watch Fear of the Walking Dead.
Make him watch.
I was so annoyed yesterday. I told Jeremy, I'm like, let's go to your place and let's all watch Big Trouble in Little China because he hasn't seen it and the movie's fucking amazing. They're like, no, I can't tonight. I have to play Planet Side 2.
Hey.
He didn't even play like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he just went home and did nothing.
By the way.
Like a goon.
That's why Brian has to leave early.
I'm leaving at 7:30 to go, but I have a Planet Side 2 thing.
Okay.
I'm leaving at 7:30. It's a once a month thing. It's very special.
It's like a raid.
It's a thing.
Tort says it was Chubby Ryan.
Alerts go for a while.
No, alerts happen like 5 times a day.
Yeah.
This is a in the group I'm in, they do this thing once a month. And I just have to be there.
So you guys are all gonna menstruate together?
Correct.
Okay.
It's gonna be amazing.
Zap.
And to be fair, it's more fun than this. Yes. Rumble.
All right. Does a new errata make Haley too unplayable trash?
We just talked about that.
Yeah, no.
Get with the times. She's still fucking amazing.
She's still really good. I mean, her feet is... She still has the second to the best reach out there for her feet. Next to the Harbinger, which is the 10 focus.
She ties with the Coven.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But
well, actually, technically, her feet goes even farther than the Coven
because of model unit.
Model/unit.
Yeah.
Her feet does not invalidate her spell list.
No.
Even if her feet was bad, it would not invalidate her spell list, and her feet is still fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Krios's feet is really good. Her feet is Krios's feet, but it gives up the defense debuff in exchange for hitting way more fucking real estate, like arguably your entire opponent's army every fucking game.
And something
you can't being shake. Unshakable. Yep. And nothing's immune to it. Mm-hmm. And fuck you, because it's Haley too, when she has deceleration and time bomb and TK and fuck you.
She's still a big caster. She's still a good caster.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe next WCC 24 out of 29 will have her instead of 25 out of 29, whatever the fuck. One guy will play something else.
Yeah. It'd She's be interesting amazing. To see how the next tournaments will come out with Signar, you know, if they're going to boohoo. Zabity. So, Guild Ball?
I had never heard about it until Muse restructured their entire website around it.
I think there's some sort of conspiracy.
I think they're just riding the D of it. The models look interesting. They don't look like they have a really unique look to them. It doesn't really get me excited for it. It's like the working class guys started in a fantasy realm start a ball team of mm-hmm. sorts.
It's Blood Bowl without the squares.
Exactly.
It's measuring Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
If I was to play any sports game, I'd probably would try Dread Ball. You have Dread Ball, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I'd say that's supposed to be good.
That's what
Dread Ball I've heard is good.
But Dread Ball is like Blood Bowl where it's with grids.
Yeah,
well, yeah, sure. But somebody mentioned that Guild Ball is the first miniatures game of soccer, whereas mm-hmm. Blood Bowl and Dread Ball and whatnot are board games.
I think Brian posted it the best. That was his part of his troll thing, though. Was that the troll thing or was that
my
a comment?
Troll thing was like Guild Ball is like game 375 trying to like replace Blood Bowl, but in 2 weeks you're gonna go back to Blood Bowl and then well, stop that too.
My aspect of it is on the models, and if you're familiar with Weird's new plastics that they've been doing, the advertising image is the same. So they use that same 3D render mm-hmm. of the gray plastic, and the models look amazing, but it just doesn't seem very attractive to me. And
no
in
one
general.
Pays us to like their shit, so I don't care. What
the models are also expensive.
Yeah,
it just for what they are.
Then.
Yeah,
I'm curious. That's about as much as you'll get me on it. I'll probably never play it.
You'd watch a Guild Ball porn and then not tell anyone about it.
I'd tell everyone. I'd gild my balls.
It'd be called Guild Balls. Yeah.
The minis game that I'm most interested in sampling and then giving up on in 2 weeks would be Frostgrave. I'm interested in that.
That seems to pick up a little bit of steam lately. Yeah.
What is it?
It's Mordheim. It's a Mordheim killer. So if you wanted to play Mordheim again, but without the broken GW rules, that's what Frostgrave is.
That's what
really popular
about
right now because Age of Sigmar. Like with Age of Sigmar, if it's done one thing well, it's get people interested in other miniatures games.
Exactly.
And so Frostgrave has exploded.
A lot of other, that's really been very big side effect of that game is that people are like, well, I got to play something. People who love miniature games still want to play miniature games. When their miniature game explodes, well, they need to find something.
So King's War is doing huge. Dreadball, apparently, maybe. I don't know.
Dreadball's doing decent. I think in Baraboo, for such a small area, Wrath of Kings is starting to pick up. Like, Kuomini or Knots, it just came off the Kickstarter from it not too long ago, but a decent amount of time. But the price point on that game's easy, and you are right with the people getting, or when their game blows up, especially something like fantasy where it's been out for 20, 30 years, like that's not such a hobby anymore. That's a habit, and you need to keep it up.
Well, some people want, and people want to be in. Like, there's people who want fantasy. They still think that steampunk, the War Machine, is still too steampunk. They don't want the 4K.
They want to play fantasy.
Yeah, they want to play fantasy.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. They either because of the theme, like you said, the steampunk versus the fantasy, or they want the ranked army thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game style that they've played for a quarter of a century, and they want to keep playing. So they just take their entire army and just play with different rules, which was genius of Mantic.
Yep. Even though GW wants to get new money from you, there are other companies that will settle up with just letting you buy their rule book and then letting it come later. It's like it really is one of the best worst things GW did.
That's also usually a company's confidence in their rule book. Is that if they'll just give you the rule book and just expect you to play it. I mean, I know that was like Privateer's thing that they were doing is when they were giving out. If you did a demo of War Machine at Adepticon, they just gave you a copy of the rule book.
That's the other huge thing with the errata that we glossed over is all the rules are free now.
Yeah, they're downloadable.
Yeah.
Yep. Are they updated with the errata?
No, they are not. It's the core rule book.
Oh,
so,
really?
But the errata's on the website.
Yeah.
Somebody in the Something Awful thread about Age of Sigmar pointed out that what would be the best possible result is that Age of Sigmar fails miserably because it would allow other companies to really benefit off of all the people abandoning ship, and it would force GW to actually try again. And they pointed out that, you know, even those of us who have played GW in the past and are sick of them now, whatever, when GW tries, they can make really fun games.
Space Hulk is still good.
Yeah. And so if this fails miserably and GW takes a massive hit and goes, shit, well, let's actually do something really good. Like, who knows what that really good thing could be?
Well, the thing is, though, most of their things that they tried and did back in the day are all games that are really back in the day.
Yeah, because they haven't had to try for 20 years because they've been coasting on 40K.
True.
Well, and also when you sell a board game, you're selling that board game to one person who's supplying it to three to four people instead of selling that one massive miniature game to one person and then selling it to four to three people again. And they're getting the actual money off of it. So, like, one board game does not equal the same price on miniatures.
The other thing could happen, too, is if they fail so horribly that another company could buy them out and use their IP for awesomeness.
Who knows? But
like,
Fantasy Flight
has done really awesome things with the their IP, with Games Workshop's IP.
Long and short is that could all just be really good for the industry.
It could.
And Brian has 8 more minutes to go, so zappity.
Well, that's fine. So Tort was mentioning, though, too, is that that Guild Ball is designed by a bunch of British Warhammer Hordes players.
That's why people are shoving it down my throat.
Yeah.
Sure, the nice people.
I don't know. It seems like when a British war game comes around, I'm just not. And I'm not like, I don't hate
the
overseas
Brits. It's
folks.
Okay.
I just don't like their games.
Their games tend to be more beer pretzel-y.
Exactly. Like when I look
at. I don't
at
know
Kings,
if that's just because when I think British miniatures company, I just think GW immediately. I don't know, but maybe I'm not being fair.
Even Kings of War is like that, where the rules are really boiled down. It doesn't take a lot of like forethought to really go through the game. Like everything's very set out. It's like, it's not like you have a stat and I have a stat and we compare it. It's just like, here's my weapon skill. Boom, I hit on fours. That's what my book says. No matter what, I hit on fours. Like, that's kind of the gist that I get from them. And, you know, of course, their culture over there is completely different for wargaming, where they have, like, massive halls that are committed to just wargaming because it has been there for so
long. What's so big over there is they have like they use like a Swiss system more. Their events will scale over a couple of days. They'll even take it more casual. I mean, they could maybe shove it all in a day, but they just, you know, let's do a couple games today, a couple days tomorrow. We can just drink in the pub all night.
Yeah.
It's kind of the... Mm-hmm.
Right, the mindset is different. Somebody pointed out that the one of the new models for Age of Sigmar, the Khorne Bloodblutter Skull Bloody, is they have the weapon options, and he has like an axe that is roll three dice, needing fours and then needing threes, and it does two wounds per hit.
Yeah.
Or the sword is roll six dice, needing threes, then needing fours, and it does one wound per hit, and those are identical mathematically.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, hey, he's got an axe or a sword, and you roll different things, and it feels different, but they're actually identical mathematically. Mm-hmm.
It really is just you're playing a weird game where it's the random, and yeah, GW is all about the random.
It's a culture thing.
Yeah.
It's a, mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. British and the American games are just different in a way.
It is, yeah. Well, the other interesting thing about that, though, is I know that the Australian War Machine community is growing pretty big. But I'm curious to know what their fantasy culture is like, or GW culture is like, because I know that the GW games there are like priced out for them. Like
Australia has been struggling so long because of the online sale debacle. Yeah. I know Australian players have been suffering forever with GW.
I was just about to say that they've been in a vacuum
if
for a
Morehouse
long time.
Is the best they can have, they must not have a very good community. Boosh!
What's funny about the European? I agree there. When I think of European miniature games, I think of like wacky roll a bunch of dice. Yeah. Randomness, but when you come to their board games, you're like, fuck you, no luck. Like, yeah. There's an extreme difference on their board games versus their miniature games.
Yeah.
Which is just an interesting...
That's the Germans more. The Germans do the board games, and they're all like, there's going to be order and no luck.
Well, they've kind of... But I think they've conquered Europe in that regard. Like
they finally found a way to conquer Europe, and it was with Settlers of Catan.
Yeah. All their board games...
Fucking cubes and meeples.
Yeah, I can't think of many Euro games, no matter the country, that is outside of a German style. So the Germans won the war just in the board game world.
Tort says that fantasy died about 3 to 5 years ago, and that was right around the time that the online community died.
They turned Australians turned to a prison state again when it came to fantasy.
You don't get any.
Speaking of the Australians, I missed an announcement. If you ever grew up with the RHQ TV thing on YouTube, he was an Australian War Machine player that moved to England. And he is just a really fun guy to watch, really has some great advice. He was a troll player. He quit for a while, turned his RHQ TV channel into League of Legends, and now he's back because I listened to him on Oz Machine, and I am super excited that he's back. I think they call him Guns.
Hmm. Sweet.
Their podcast has some fun energy to it.
It does. I really do. I like listening to Trent and Moops. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a lovely podcast.
Should I badmouth Morehouse again?
Yeah, go ahead, hit him.
He's dumb.
Yeah,
dumb. You big dumb.
Good day.
You know how dumb he is? He invited me on his podcast like an idiot.
What a shit face.
I ruined that episode.
Boom.
Yeah, we're not only.
Wait, you were on a different podcast? You didn't tell me so we could advertise it?
I just don't want. Well, yeah, he was on. When the ADR first hit, he talked to like a person from each faction. I did their convergence episode.
Aww.
Yeah,
oh,
it sounded terrible because my microphone was bad.
You were just the available one.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, because Watt turned him down.
Well, Watt really has no online presence.
Yeah, that's
either.
True.
He's not... You can't Watt, really talk to him.
He's like your definition of a Watt. Dark horse, I think.
Watt.
Just comes out of the shadows.
Hit him.
Boom. I feel like I'm going
Now I'm just making random slig noises. Zappity.
Anything else? What's left?
Yeah, there's done. You can leave whenever.
Do your recommendation, fine. And then you can leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I recommend...
Don't do it. Don't do what I'm going to do. Don't do it.
Do it. I don't care what you were going to recommend. You need to change it now to whatever he's going to recommend.
I know what anyone's recommending.
It's going to be inserting a fleshlight in your cat bug.
No!
Although now he's thinking about it.
No. I understand why there's a ladybug here. I still don't get it.
Cat bug, you need to watch the show, Bravest Warriors.
I don't know what that
Brian
is.
Would hate it.
You could I was about to recommend Bravest Warriors.
You've done it already.
I finished season one of BoJack Horseman, by the way.
What did you think of it as an entire thing?
As an entire season, it has a lot of jokes that continue to call back to itself, which I appreciate. Any season has season-long jokes I like.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate that element of it. I mean, I started season two.
Yeah,
so I liked it enough to watch. Go on. It still doesn't blow me away, but there have been some certain elements that have kept me interested long term.
All right,
I am on episode 4 now.
Aaron Paul is the guy. So, because he doesn't sound like Aaron Paul, which is so weird.
Who's Aaron Paul?
Todd, the roommate. The bum roommate. That's Aaron Paul.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because he doesn't sound like him. I don't know why he changed his voice.
Because he doesn't say
voice acting.
Yo, science.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I understand it's voice acting, but you still think, I don't know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I recommend you on Tuesday. I'm gonna pre-recommend something.
Because you just assume it's going to be good?
You should probably pick up Until Dawn on Tuesday and play that.
You should stream it.
I'm thinking of streaming it. If it's really bad, though, I'm probably going to break my TV.
I'm probably going to wait until you pick it up because it has been on my list.
I think Raylene would love that game, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a horror theme game, which I already love survival horror.
Yeah.
But it's the, you know, Hard Rain style where you just 8 kids go into a cabin and you control. I don't know how you switch between the characters. I don't know how Heavy Rain did it. And it's all quick time.
Heavy Rain did it there would be chapters, it's like a Telltale Games where there's chapters. Just imagine, the Borderlands one.
Okay.
But imagine it's swipped between Reese and Fiona like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I don't know how you switch between the people in this. But yeah,
you never had a choice. Yeah. The plot just did it when it wanted to. And maybe the plot
does it, but based on your decisions as you play different people, you'll decide which of the people. Because, I mean, they get attacked by things, and you don't know what's going on. So it's up to you, to your decisions, to make how you survive. And it's all quick time. Which, when games mix action and quick time, the only game that's ever done it that I've liked has been Resident Evil 4. Outside of that, whenever they start mixing those styles, I just hate it so much. I'm playing a game, I want to play a game. If it's a quick time, it's okay if it's that. But so this being just that, I think will probably be okay to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to, then start fighting. Because you get pulled out of the action when you're in a fight with a controller. And then now it's, wait 3 seconds.
We're suddenly entering quick time mode. Whereas Heavy Rain was always quick time mode, so it's not suddenly a different mode.
So I'm very intrigued. I mean, so it's the theme of game I like. I mean, the whole concept. There's actually a game coming out later this year where you're going to play the bad guy hunting the people in the
woods. Yeah, that one looks cool.
I do want to replay Heavy Rain now that I know who the killer is, because the creator of the game actually said never replay this game. Play it once and then burn it, because that's how life works. You don't get to do it again. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's an artistic thing to say, but whatever. That's now that I know who the killer is, I want to play through again and make sure I get every single character killed except for that one. Because I want to see what the ending is where that character lives.
Risk Legacy does that play it and burn it thing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you play it 3 times and then burn it.
Which is a shame, because we were enjoying it all right.
The Shays don't like it. I think one of them, I forget which one.
One of the if one of the Shays didn't like it and it meant neither of the Shays would play it, we all can guess which Shay didn't like it.
Yeah, so, yeah, pretty much. All right, I'm going to go play PlanetSide 2 because that's how cool I am.
All right, you go have fun with that.
Uh-huh. Hey, I still came for this and...
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm on here.
That's fine.
Video games, you guys can talk bad about me. I won't listen later, so it's okay.
Have a good...
Take this with me.
Sounds good.
No!
Well, that in Travis's language, means it's yours now.
Put the thing back on and then put Catbug in his place.
We need some theatrical integrity here.
There we go.
We always have that many players. Why would you do that? That was not a good Catbug impression.
No, because you're not a
fan. Anyway, Zappity.
Grumble.
All right, so next one. Ovipositor?
Ovipositor?
Ovipositor.
Sure.
Ovipositor.
What about them?
Question
that was on that was actually on the Beer Machine episode. They talked about that a bit. Menoth John showed up there and they were going crazy over some ovipositor. It was like an inside joke in their pre-ramble. I have no fucking clue what it means because I
avoid having
enough.
Them thrust into my mouth. Yeah. Like in general, that's not a thing I enjoy.
I don't know what they were talking about. They said the nose of the beer and I threw up in my mouth.
The most famous ovipositor is, of course, the ones on the facehuggers in the Alien movies.
Okay. That probably makes a little sense then.
It's the egg laying thing.
Yeah.
Oh, is he talking about that new
when the
sex
facehugger
toy?
Face rapes you, the dick it's putting in your mouth is technically called an ovipositor.
Oh,
it's what insects use to lay eggs.
Have you seen the new sex toy? Supposedly there is a sex toy that is shaped like a dildo that shoots out eggs. That basically implants you with eggs.
Why would I want that?
Some people like it.
But the point, retrieving, I could understand
seeing it. I think
a dildo that dispenses, maybe if it was a chain of anal beads, you know, and the chain still stayed out, so I could retrieve them. But I don't want loose eggs just shoved into me.
Black says it's a weaponized vagina.
Yeah, I can see an ovipositor as being a weaponized vagina. That's a very good description of an ovipositor. But it's somehow a weaponized penis vagina. Because
yes, it penetrates.
Yeah. And then it's a vagina on the end of a penis.
So it's interstitial.
It's a dick with a vagina at the end.
Yeah. So it's not. It's neither.
It's weird. Both. Yeah. What? Zappity?
Grumble. He talks.
That's probably a good time to go from there. Iowa or Canada?
Canada.
If I had to choose. Actually, in all comparisons, never mind. I was trying to think of any comparison where I'd vote for Iowa, but assuming you're not just flipping it and having a which is worst.
Yeah.
But any time when I had to pick one of them, I think I'm always picking Canada.
Me too. Canada seems pretty legit, and maybe I can force Banksy to start putting more episodes of his podcast out.
Canada seems great. Free healthcare and all that stuff.
Yeah, Toronto.
Have I told the Shreddies story? I'm not sure I've told the Shreddies story.
Go ahead.
But yeah. Well, no, I mean, any Canadian knows this, but I had a buddy, Andrew, who was here during one of the recordings at your place. That's an ovipositor toy. That is unnecessary.
No.
Anyway, words.
I had a turn safe search off for that.
So they have a cereal in Canada called Shreddies that's basically just Chex. It's just square shredded cereal.
Okay,
just envision Chex in your mind, boom, there you go. And so it's called Shreddies, and they had a whole ad campaign where they got rid of classic Shreddies. They got rid of them, and they replaced them. Instead of having squares, they replaced Shreddies with the new diamond-shaped Shreddies. And then huge ad campaign, a new box, and the box is like, new diamond-shaped Shreddies, and everything. And everyone's like, wow, and it's got all the diamond-shaped semi squares. And they did the whole thing, and they did that for like a year. And then they had another huge ad campaign that was like, back by popular demand, classic square Shreddies. And whole boxes, classic Shreddies with squares. And then, yeah.
It's an entrepreneurial promised land.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Like, that's how you sell squares.
Yep.
That's also very similar to the left and right Twix ads.
Yeah,
it is.
I only eat left Twix.
I miss the two for me, none for you ad campaign, because that was a very true ad campaign. Is that Twix, there's two of them, and there's two of us, which means I get two Twix and you get none.
Exactly. Oh, that's like the sharing size. I think I might have said something about this before where it's so shaming. Like, you're like, yep, I'm going to buy the king size bag of M&Ms, and then it says sharing size, so now I just get to feel like a fat fucker all day.
Obligated
to share.
I mentioned this to Andy on a Wednesday, and I tried to show it to him, but the reception was really bad, so I couldn't show him the video, but there was a YTMND of somebody who took the end of the mist, you know, where they've got the gun and there's like four bullets in the gun and there's five people, and so there's the whole thing where they like, he pulls out the gun and the people are like, but there's five of us, and then he shoots the other four and then starts crying. And they took it and they photoshopped and they put a Kit Kat bar in his hand. Nice. So he pulls out a Kit Kat bar with the four sections. The guy's like, but there's five of us, and then he just guns down the other four people and just starts eating the Kit Kat bar. It was great. Spoiler, he shoots everybody at the end of the mist.
Zap myself to the bathroom.
You son of a bitch, Grumble.
I will say, though, that movie, I really like the ending to that movie.
I like it better on repeated viewings.
It is annoying because...
It's a dick move ending. Like, I'm just like, wouldn't they wait a little longer? Like, wouldn't they wait till they're at least hungry or thirsty instead of being an hour in the car? Like, I have to pee, let's all kill ourselves. Like, flash forward a few weeks.
I think they felt that maybe there was something... Because that was at the point that they thought that there was... death coming at that point after they saw the giant fucking walking beast.
Yeah.
I would love to see that movie from a different angle, from a different perspective.
Like people outside the cloud?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then seeing the like giant Cthulhu-like beast walking around. The fact that Stephen King likes that movie, that ending, almost better than his book... makes it so, you know, I agree with it then. If the creator of the material likes that ending better, more power to him.
Yeah, usually. Sometimes creators are stupid and wrong, though.
George R. Martin is
sometimes just like, you know what, shut up. No, like Lucas is the bigger one.
Oh,
like, yes. Like, I like this version of Star Wars better. Well, that means it's shit.
Yes. All right, Zappity Grumble. Mighty, skilled, gifted, or cunning?
The Iron Kingdom's profiles for the RPG. There's the traits you can select in the game, and they determine what type of
shut up, nerd, pick one.
I'm just I'm giving you context.
We don't fucking need context. You think I don't know?
I'm going to pick Mighty. Fuck off.
Of course you're picking Mighty. Are any of us surprised?
Because you can be a troll. Ken. A mighty troll is amazing.
Ken.
Fuck you.
Troll Ken.
Yeah, troll Ken.
You don't
Ken.
Get to be a troll.
No. I'm going
to
be a troll. Fuck off. It's my RPG.
Play Marshall's version then, because he'll do the IK RPG when he gets back, and he never does an RPG without 500 pages of massive core rule changes.
Yes.
He just can't leave him alone.
I look forward to that then, because I've been running all of our Iron Kingdoms games, and it's been really draining me.
I would love to play it, but I still want to be a Bog Trog Warlock, or Warcaster.
You can't.
Warcaster?
Not a warlock. I want a Warcaster.
Warcaster.
Yeah, I want a Bogtrog running around with a fucking coal chamber.
You might be able to put some things together between the Unleashed and Iron Kingdoms book.
I almost said something stupid, but so now I just have to modify, because I was originally going to say non-human, and then it occurred to me that there are several elves. But there's no non-human/elf Warcasters, huh?
Nothing comes immediately to mind. I mean, trolls, but...
No, they're warlocks.
Oh, warlocks, warcasters.
Yeah, warcasters.
There are no...
I think, Gumbjorn was trained.
I guess there's the dwarves too.
But they're humanoid.
He was trained in the Signar army as a soldier. He was never trained as a warcaster, though.
True.
It would be nice to see a warlock caster or warcaster that goes between systems.
I think
the balance would be weird.
It would just be cool to see, if Gumbjorn had been a Signar warcaster, and he was just, a troll... That had the weird, for some reason, he was. That would just be interesting to me to see
Terminus
fluff-wise.
In his previous.
Who the fuck knows? Life. I don't know what his original body
Star's
was.
Non-human.
Yeah, that's true. She's a Satixis. Yeah, I guess so. But so there's none of the races that are in the Horde's
in the
kingdoms.
Actual. Yeah, the Imran continent or whatever.
Yeah, they don't.
That's an interesting thing. I'm That would be kind of neat to see if they would explore something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you could almost do it where it's an ally, so that'd be like a Who's the Boss style, where their system would change.
Depending on
what ally faction they go with.
You'd have to posit the question, are Cephalax human?
No, they're not. They're definitely not. So that's more
they're
things.
They're after human.
So then I have to alter it and say that nothing that has... There is no warcaster that is in a race that has warlocks.
Gotcha.
Because there are human warlocks and there are human warcasters, so obviously they span both.
Yeah, you won't find an Ogryn warcaster for rule or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's no Ogryn warlocks either, except the one that has a dragon shoved in his chest. So that's that hardly counts.
There's no pygmy warcaster,
and I believe that's a huge fluff issue too. Is they talk about the fact that the only reason he can do magic is because of the Aethink.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see another species besides human that is on both sides of the magical choice.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah, because what's his name? Leto is technically in the alternate timeline. He's a warlock.
No, he has no magic at all in the alternate timeline.
King Leto?
No, he has nothing.
He does.
He did not have focus or fury. He had power tokens that he could spend.
You're thinking of the.
I'm thinking of Vinter.
You're thinking of Vinter.
I'm thinking of Vinter.
Leto is a Trollblood warlock.
Was he?
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking of Vinter. You're right.
Yep.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Oh, we didn't pick. Grumble. I was cunning. I'd be cunning.
Gifted will let you be a warcaster.
I'm definitely not guilty. I'm definitely not gifted or skilled. I'm describing myself, not picking which one I want.
It's role-playing. This is where you're supposed to play like it.
Okay. Well, then I'd still be cunning.
Okay.
And I'd get into all the ladies' pants.
Yeah, you would.
I'd go with gifted. Why not?
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand. Somebody was talking about... I was talking about until Fallout 4 holds them over, somebody was saying they were replaying Fallout 3 and they didn't know what to play next. And I'm play Fallout New Vegas next, because Fallout New Vegas is fucking amazing. And they were like, well, I played it for a little while, but I accidentally put a bunch of stuff into science before I realized all science did was let you hack. And then I was mad because I didn't care about hacking. And my brain just couldn't fathom that, because every time I ever play Fallout 3 or 4, I max out hacking, sneak, and lockpick, because all I want to do is go everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't care about shooting things. I want to hack every fucking terminal. I want to lockpick every fucking lock. That's all it's about.
It is.
Because nothing pisses me off more is when I make, and I'll make, an alternate character who's just, melee or whatever, and then I'll get to a door that's you need lockpick level 50. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm getting flashbacks to Skyrim where I'm trying to work the lockpicks, and I'm just, throughout my entire house, you could just hear, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tort was mentioning, though, that Nyss and Iosans are both elves, and Circle Warlocks are humans. But
I was thinking about the Nyss as far as they're a different kind of elf, because there's Nyss Warlocks. Well, no, there's only Blighted Nyss. There's
a lesser Warlock that's Nyss, isn't it? No, that she's Iosan. Dahlia. Yeah, she's Iosan, I think.
And technically, Brunn is a lesser Warlock.
That is true. Dwarves span both. Mm-hmm. That is true.
That was mentioned over by Black as well.
Yeah, so. There you go. Okay, that's interesting. All right, that's cool then that there's some. So there's more Warlocks. I can't say it that way. I can't say there's more Warlocks that are also Warcasters, because that's no different than them being Warcasters that are also Warlocks. Exactly. It's just there's three, I guess in my mind, since there's three Dwarf Warlocks and only Warcasters, only one Dwarf Warlock, I figured he's the outlier.
Yeah, it is. But it's an interesting, I mean, like, not like this is the big thing that Privateer Press thought of, but it's an interesting comment on racial equality in War Machine.
Seems like it's easier to become a Warlock than it does to become a Warcaster.
It is.
In that world.
Brunn makes things interesting to me, because when it was just human spanning both, I almost could deal with that more, because going back to D&D and whatnot, humans have always been the generic race.
Yep.
You know, like the other races specialize in humans, just let you do whatever the fuck because they're just humans. Whatever. They're a blank slate. And so I was okay with humans doing both, but now that there's one random dwarf that's a warlock, that now my brain is just like, there should be more.
Yeah, I agree with you. There should be more variety. I can understand how it, like, with the Warcaster Academy, that becoming a Warcaster is much more difficult because you have to be skilled and you have to control this thing. Whereas, like, when you look at a Warlock, they don't really have to control the beast. They just kind of have to tell it what to do and hope it listens.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's an innate control. Like, you don't have to train them as much. You know, they just kind of, they have this energy, this you know, relationship.
They have that bond. Yeah. And that's probably the reason why that Brunn doesn't have, like, an active battle group that he can choose from.
He just has a pet.
He just has Brunn or Lug with him. Yeah. So that'd probably be the same thing with Dahlia and Scarith as well. Is that they don't have another members that they can add to their battle group.
And it seems like she's more of like the snake charmer person too. So she's using a different way to control it.
Yep. Yeah, maybe there's just like a special bond, kind of like, you know, Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, it would just be neat to see just like a pig warcaster, you know, or a gator warcaster, or a Scorn warcaster.
I want a Bogdrog warlock or warcaster.
Sure.
Because I also wanted to do the voice, because I do the voice gifted. I pick gifted as my
do your voice.
Yes, I can. It's pretty awesome. But it just sounds like I'm gargling, but whatever.
Why do they sound like that on land? Like, why did Merman, not Merman, what was his name?
It was Merman.
Fish Killer, was it just Merman? That's Merman. How uncreative the He-Man people were. He-Man and Merman and Beastman and Mechanek. Yeah.
Trapjaw.
Good old Mechanek. But why would he sound like that? Like, why would his thing be that he sounds like he's underwater even when he's not underwater?
Well, he's probably got stuff going through him. So he could actually.
But he wasn't wearing like a rebreather. It's not like Abe Sapien. Like, Abe Sapien had the rebreather over his gills.
Sure. But this is the 80s.
Yeah, well, you could work it out to where, like, he does take in the oxygen but doesn't process the oxygen from gas. He reoxygenates water that he might store in his lung gill hybrid. And then that's what he
feels. So he's got a water sac in his body, and he breathes in, and the water gets infused with oxygen, which he then forces through his own gills on the inside to be able to breathe.
I think that sounds like it could work.
All right, I'll go with that.
Yeah, let's try it.
My only science question in He-Man has been answered. A skeleton having abs and biceps, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Or somebody who can lengthen their neck to 30 feet.
Dalsim taught us that yoga can do wonders.
And he had a robotic neck. His name was Mechaneck. It's right there in his name.
So if you ever want, have you seen the new He-Man series?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, you should watch it at least a couple times, because
the first episode has Andy's favorite villain line ever.
Oh God, so good. So good. We might have to watch this afterwards. No, Mechaneck, he is absolutely the most, they actively have Stratos with them. There, so Stratos can just fly and go everywhere, but Mechaneck there is there to announce what's going on.
His power is that he has a long neck.
Nice.
You know,
he's a giraffe man. You,
do you know who I'm talking about when no, I say Stratos?
When it came to He-Man, I had He-Man, Skeletor, and
the castle that dumped ooze on people.
Yeah, it was the fuck big yeah, you had the castle that packed up. Yeah,
we all had that castle.
That's all I remember. I mean, I wasn't a big I was more of a Transformers person or Transformers kid.
But this is worse than like the Aquaman thing, because at least Aquaman has his shtick.
Yeah.
Like Mechamech versus Stratos is like if you have Superman and then you also have a guy that has stilts.
That is pretty bad.
So Superman's flying and this guy's like, but I'm 2 feet higher up off the ground than a normal person.
Whoop-dee-dick.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like his only power is that he can extend his neck up to like maybe 20 feet or whatever. And so like just... they had a wall and he's like, I could see over that wall. And he extends his head. And meanwhile, Stratos would just stand there with his thumb up his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy can fly.
That's like a long shot always confused me as a superhero, having the superpower of extreme luck.
Yeah. Although extreme luck can outpower every other power, depending on how extreme it is.
Yeah, you still like play if his the
power
averages,
is
though.
Literally well, how extreme is his luck? Like if his power is literally, I will always win.
Then he becomes the supreme being.
That's what I'm saying. He's and then still it becomes. Dead. Well, okay then. Then apparently his power wasn't that extreme.
I guess not. He just his power is just once.
Slightly better luck.
Maybe his power just ran out.
Yeah.
Maybe he just really was like naturally lucky and played those weird averages and found out he's not really that super.
Maybe I was like Ashlyn when I play her where you know her feet is extreme luck, except Nate's still rolling the dice.
Yep.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Pizza or Philly cheesesteak and none of the cheesesteak pizza garbage.
If I could only eat one for the rest of my life, I'd probably do pizza.
I would do pizza.
But I think at any given moment, I'd rather be eating a chili Philly cheesesteak because it seems like a better food. But
yeah,
maybe that's because I don't eat it every day. I don't know.
Well, you can get Philly cheesesteak pizza.
So right, but no, that was system. Banned.
That yeah, was that was banned. Banned.
Okay,
was purposely
I didn't
banned.
Understand the garbage yep. thing.
And yeah. none of that Cheese Whiz bullshit on the Philly cheesesteak.
No,
like,
it's got
like
to be
a nice
actual...
melted like provolone mm-hmm. or something yeah. in there.
No, I'd still stick with pizza. You can be so variable with that.
Yeah.
A Philly cheesesteak is a Philly cheesesteak, and a good Philly cheesesteak can only be found at a place that makes good Philly cheesesteaks. But yeah. a good pizza, you can get anywhere. You can get a good barbecue pizza. You can get a good chicken Alfredo That's pizza. True.
Oh, speaking of which, fucking fucking
Nathan is having a seizure.
We broke
Salvatore's tomato pies. You know Salvatore's tomato pies. There's a pizza place out in Sun Prairie that's just orgasmically good pizza. Like what I just did, I do after every bite at Salvatore's tomato pies. And like last year in the Isthmus, they had an article that they were opening a Madison location, oh, and apparently without me noticing, it happened because there's a location on Johnson Street now.
Gonna have to try that.
Like. I was talking to people about, like, pizza is like steak, where, like, if you go to a place that makes it amazing, like, it's life-changing. Like, this amazing steak yeah. or this amazing pizza is life-changing. But decent pizza or decent steak is damned good. Like,
yeah,
it is. Like,
it's not a bad
you know,
experience.
It's not bad. Like, I'm perfectly happy going to Chili's and getting a ribeye. I'll be so... It's delicious, yeah. you know? And I get, oh, my God, that was delicious. I know
Chili's
it's just
is actually
a Chili's. You know,
underratedly
yeah,
good food.
Sure, like, but, well, like... You don't need to spend the $200 steakhouse thing because the increase isn't that big. It's a decent steak when you
yeah,
go to the Chili's or whatever.
Exactly.
But Salvatore tomato pies is that life-changing step up of pizza. And so when like, people ask, and I'd be like, this is where you need to go if you actually want to taste what pizza can achieve.
Yeah.
So well, like it's like Ian's downtown? Is
Ian's similar? Is really damn good, too. Yeah. yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like that
I've never
saying,
eaten there.
That saying that's probably more well, male-driven than female-driven, but... You know, there's pizza's like sex. When the pizza's good, it's good. And when the pizza's bad, it's still good.
Here's the thing with Ian's is their crust is amazing. Like, you know, you got the pizza crust you're holding, and you mm-hmm. eat the pizza, and you got the crust left over. And some pizza you just throw it away because, like, oh, that crust was just there to hold stuff. And some pizza, you eat it because it's okay. Ian's, you get to that crust that's left is the greatest breadstick you have ever eaten in yep. your life. Mm. Ian's pizza is the greatest crust on the planet, and then they just put random shit on top of it because it doesn't matter what they put on top of it because this crust is fucking amazing. Mm. So then they just put everything. There. Mac and cheese,
is it
Reuben's, Euros, whatever.
Hand-tossed, or is it, like, super really thin?
It's kind of like hand-tossed, but then they put it in the oven right before you eat it, so it's really crispy when you get it.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, I tend to like a thicker crust pizza.
Yep.
I mean, if I have a choice, I always choose the thicker crust. But thin crust, I don't mind. Yeah. It's not something I hate.
That's me.
Zavity. After this, we can all go to Ian's Brian's buying.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Does buying Forbidden Stars makes up for selling my copy of StarCraft the board game? Brian Back says it.
You have gotten back to being able to... I mean, it's nice to have at least one of those. And you were wrong to sell it, and it was a terrible sign of you as a human being that you sold an amazing game that's out of print. Although, if you sold it for like $200, okay, I take that back. Like, depending on how much you sold it for.
That's only 100% markup, though.
Right.
The game itself is $100.
Right. But if he doubled his money, and if he didn't have a group that played it, I can kind of stand by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if he didn't have a group to play it, that means that Forbidden Stars, he's not going to have a group to play with.
Sure, that's a valid counterpoint. But it's kind of like I sold my copy. I sold all my Super Nintendo games are amazing. I sold Earthbound for $200, okay. And I sold which Earthbound's a fucking masterpiece, and I feel bad that I sold it. But somebody gave me $200, and it was pretty nice getting $200.
It's still a good sale though, because Earthborn did take a big dive when it went over to the Wii U store. The Wii store.
Yes.
It did.
Also, I really had to pay rent that week.
Secret of Mana was the one that took a hit, too. Mm-hmm. Some of the others have stabilized a bit.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at things like Lufia 2, you're still looking at a $100, $150 game because it's not available. But Secret of Mana and Earthbound, they took a little bit of a dive.
Fucking Metal Warriors, one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. Me and my buddies in junior high and high school would just have... overnight, we'd crash at my place, they'd all come over, and we would just play from noon until noon the next day, just winner stays, loser cycles out, just play two-player Metal Warriors for literally 12 hours in a row.
Mm-hmm. We did that with Worms when I was a kid.
Sure, fucking Worms, great stuff. But it was morally wrong of you to sell it, but you have basically the same game now, so it kind of is okay.
Yeah.
It's like selling Warhammer Quest, but then buying Shadows of Brimstone. Does it make up for selling Warhammer Quest?
No, you just buy Shadows of Brimstone and then keep Warhammer Quest. Yeah.
When it comes
but
to...
at the time they sold Warhammer Quest, they didn't even know Shadows of Brimstone was going to exist. So
because that was like 20 years ago.
So imagine somebody 5 years ago sold Warhammer Quest, Andy.
Yeah.
And then now that Shadows of Brimstone is out, they bought Shadows of Brimstone. Does that make up for selling Warhammer Quest 5 years ago? See, I'm translating this to a game Andy is more familiar with.
No, I played StarCraft.
You're right, but this is definitely a good analogy.
Yeah.
Would you forgive this
honest,
person?
I probably would not sell Warhammer Quest.
Right? But this person did.
You hang on to your out-of-prints. I just don't sell them unless I'm in dire straits.
Speaking of which, somebody sent me a shit ton of gold cards.
Ooh.
They sent us a shit ton of gold cards, but I saw the message first, so I gave him my address.
Nice.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. It was a Shea list.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you were talking about collecting them. And so, the next day he contacted us.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably part with some. I gave Marshall the full set of... Since he plays Legion, I gave him my full set of Legion gold cards to him. Yeah. He was pretty happy about that.
Plus, Marshall unwillingly collects Mark 1 cards. Because we just made it a thing that we would just shove Mark 1 cards into random pockets of him and his jacket and his bag when he wasn't looking. So he just has an infestation of Mark 1 cards.
That is the good time to get into collecting, though, is when something transitions to a new rule set or a new something. That's when you want to collect because people are like, oh, the new thing, I don't need this shit anymore. And then maybe 5 years down the road, it actually becomes somewhat valuable.
It took me a long time to actually get all the casters for the Time Warp as well.
I
get all the Mark 1 casters.
I have the Dahlia and Scarith Mark 1 just sitting on my table at home, and I keep forgetting to bring it.
Oh, I don't need it.
You said you wanted it, just in case.
Time Shift Bankrupt?
Yeah, Time Shift Bankrupt.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bankrupt?
No, I don't.
But why wouldn't you Time Shift Bankrupt?
I just never thought of
it. They have Mark 1 cards, bro.
I guess we could probably do that.
Yeah.
I guess that's a thing.
Chomp, zappity.
Grumble. All right. Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah.
Or George R.R. Martin.
I exclude myself.
Who's Patrick?
Name of the Wind. I don't think you read the name.
He's a Stevens Point.
Yeah. Name of the Wind, Wiseman's Sphere, and then the next one's called...
He's the one who runs the World Builders.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The World Builders charity thing.
At that rate, I'll always support a Wisconsinite if I loosely know what they're about.
Yeah. And some people... The second book in the Kingkiller trilogy was worse than the first book, but that's because the Name of the Wind is one of my favorite books ever.
Well, yeah, from what it sounds like, he led that out with, this is the apex of what you're going to be able to do with this.
Yeah, it was interesting because I read Name of the Wind. Like, the Onion just was jerking off about how much it loved. Well, the AV Club, because the Onion, they're kind of separate Onion entities now. But the AV Club said that Name of the Wind was, like, the greatest fantasy thing since Tolkien. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing has ever reached this pinnacle of success before. And I read it, and I'm like, well, this was okay, but I don't know. And then I read it a second time, and it's now, like, I kept it on my bedstand for a while because when I went to bed, I would just open to a random page and then just read until I fell asleep. Like, it didn't matter where I flipped it open to. Like, I love that book now. And the second book wasn't as good, but what I was trying to get to is that the drop in quality in Martin's books hasn't happened to Rothfuss's books yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because there's only two of them and like a side novella he did too about a side character, but you know, so two and a half, whatever. But the quality is still up there versus like the last two books in the Game of Thrones, which really nosedived.
Mm-hmm. Mm. He also has a beard that looks much like yours.
Yeah. He's got a great story about drowning a guinea pig.
Mm.
Not, it doesn't actually drown.
Hmm.
He just, at his college, they were only allowed to have pets that were fish. It was the only pet allowed. And so the people tried to come and take his guinea pig away because they said, you can only have a fish. And he's like, that is a fish. Like, that's not a fish. Like, yeah, they're like, prove it. Let's see it swim underwater. So he just held it underwater while holding unbroken eye contact with the person until they caved in and admitted it was a fish so he could keep it.
Wow.
And he said the animal never forgave him. Like, it tries to kill him at night. Like, it woke up and the thing was holding a pillow over his face.
Deserved zappity.
I think he's going to be at GameholeCon.
Yeah.
I think he is. We'll have to see if we could try to get him on the podcast.
That'd be legit.
I had a picture of him and I being sagacious together because I had him autograph the second book and I made him write, he promised not to die until he finished the series.
All right, zappity.
Rubba.
So we have a lot for Max Damage. That's basically who's been posting all these. All
right, go. We're going full on Zan.
No. Well, we're at the end of them.
Oh.
White-green Iosian or green-gold-green? Gold-green.
Gold-green or blue?
Or white-green?
White-green?
White-slash-green Iosian or gold-green.
Okay, so standard ret color versus Packer ret color.
Well, Packer's always better. Oh, the standard is white-blue.
Yeah, well, white-green, they kind of call it Iosin green, the colors of their, like, tunics and stuff.
Yeah.
They call blue Packer green?
Well, they're elves. Colorblind. Maybe they're colorblind. Yeah,
so could be.
You should get them those colored. Those,
they see different spectrums.
Yeah, you should get them those new glasses.
Yes. Whenever I paint golden green, I get sick because I just don't want to be that person who reflects my football team that's amazingly good at the game on my miniatures. So green and gold, I just stay away
from. We're less amazingly good now that we don't have Jordy Nelson for the season.
Yeah, that is correct, but still. What?
Yeah, he didn't need that ACL anyway.
No.
I have been.
Have you done your fantasy football pick yet?
Nope.
Don't pick Jordy Nelson.
Andy Zappity just got grumbled.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, nothing like a star player getting a season-ending injury in a fucking preseason game.
Oh, yeah. That happened today, too.
It happened today. He tore his ACL.
I didn't even.
They're going to x-ray him tonight, and they'll release news tomorrow, but there's no way it's not. You're gone for the season.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a strain of some sort, he could be back like halfway through the season.
The way he went down, like there's nobody near him. He's just running and all of a sudden just collapses and it's a torn ACL.
It's a good thing we have a lot of wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, our
second and third strings aren't bad. Yeah,
they're not
bad.
No, that's what I'm saying. We have
other guy.
Jones.
Sure, they can call Chimura back.
It's Chimura.
Hey, a buddy of mine posted a good joke on Facebook that made me laugh. I don't remember if you were there yesterday when I read it or not. I think it was just Dan and Jeremy. But I said, Jared ended his career at Subway the same way he began it, trying to get into smaller pants.
All right, Zappity.
Just Chimura made me remember that.
Kieran asks, who will Chile pile on at this year's WTC in Ireland?
I'm jealous of whoever it is.
Yeah, I am too.
I love you, Chile.
I love chilies. Hey, speaking of chili, what are we doing? Since you're the one, you're the mastermind. What are we doing for Clusterfuck?
I don't know. Last year, 3 out of 5 podcasts didn't release it.
That is true as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy with our recording of these.
Yeah.
So I don't care if those other podcasts record. Actually, let us know if you like the Clusterfuck-a-palooza as fans.
Yeah.
Because I still really like doing it, And I could care less if other podcasts don't release it.
Giving a unique perspective, when I first listened to Clusterfuckapalooza as a fan, I enjoyed it because it was one of my first forays into the podcasting world, so I got to learn a lot. So it's not just like a really interesting and entertaining ordeal. It's also a very educational one and can kind of bring the community more listeners, I guess. It's kind of nice.
Also, Cool Kurt from Springfield is not allowed on it.
That is true.
Or if he is, he's not allowed to drink for 24 hours before it.
Correct.
Drunken Cool Kurt from Springfield is not allowed on podcast.
Can bring his girlfriend, though.
She was cool.
Yeah.
It's also nice to see some of the family-friendly podcasters get into a Crippled System element.
Yes. Yes. Like, when Chad came over to our area, Chad
was so happy. He just let loose.
Well, no, he was so quiet.
Oh, because he was scared to do it? Did any of the Muse guys come over and go, oh, thank God, fuck you, fuck shit, Josh? Well,
Josh was manning the port at the last one that I remember.
Yeah, Nigel was the only one that actually traveled to ours pretty much on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But the first one, they were still Focus and Fury. The first recording, Focus and Fury. Yeah, because Jamie was there and everything. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The first 2 years ago, they were still Focus and Fury.
Yeah.
Because it was Road to War, Focus and Fury, Muse, and us were the four.
Chain Attack was there.
But the members of Chain Attack were there, but they didn't record as Chain Attack there.
No, they didn't. They were on everybody else.
Yeah. The four stations were Muse, Road to War, Crippled System, and Focus and Fury. Yep. This most recent one was Muse. Muse, Your Turn Go, Crippled System, and
Learn to War Game, I think, too.
Yeah, Learn to War Game, and then, yeah, but... And Men of John, and Painting with Men of John.
Yep.
But only us and I think Men of John actually released the recordings, because Learn to War Game and Your Turn Go, like, there's recordings... One of them, the recording got fucked up post-production. Like, it just got erased or something.
Yeah.
One of them was having recording issues during it. Mm-hmm. So, like, every 5 minutes, their stuff would crash, so they just got nothing. And then Muse just never released theirs.
Yeah. I think on purpose.
Yeah, well, I'm sure on purpose. I'm sure John or somebody was like, this is too vulgar. I don't want this out there.
Yeah.
And so they just sat on it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll put the feelers out there. I'll see if anybody's interested in doing it. You know, people whose stuff just failed because of technical things, if they want to try again and whatever. And
It was really cool to have that many podcasts last year. I'd like to see it narrowed down to only four.
Just a four stations. More focused.
So we could be focused more in that regards, and that way we could fit into a room again.
Yeah.
Also get a good varied amount of people in the podcast too, because when you're talking to four people, like I think there was one where you had people sitting by you who were more of the quiet ones, mm-hmm. and it was like a one-man show. Mm-hmm. I think like for some reason Scott from Chain Attack was a little bit on the quiet side, which is atypical. And then there was somebody else too who was one of the Road to War guys was just like zero throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't remember who that was.
I'll put feelers out and I'll see, you know. And if we can do like four podcasts with like four people from each and cap it, and then because then you could even have the switches actually be more planned and to make, I don't know, whatever. I'll put feelers out. It may or may not happen.
I'm okay with, you know, some podcasts showing up and they don't have their recording equipment with them and they're just participating in the other's podcast.
Yeah,
but I really want to only have maybe four stations tops.
Makes sense.
I mean, we could support up to six mics on our own.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll have my equipment there because I'll be doing all the recording.
Zappity.
Grumble.
That wasn't even a zappity grumble question.
So I know it wasn't. That's why I zappity it.
We should be pretty quick here. Which Crippled System top-bottom duo would win in a swimming pool chicken fight?
Well, I'd have to be a bottom.
Yeah, you look like a bottom.
Yeah, I mean, something to hold on to.
Brian would probably have to be a bottom.
He's tall.
I guess I'd be a top. I mean, he is taller.
You're a top. You're a top now. Congratulations.
Yeah.
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 I'd be a top. So,
I think Andy and I might be the best top bottom combo because I could actually support you.
You could support me, and then you could hold on to my beard so I don't fall forward.
Would it count like if backwards. Katie was top to Jeremy bottom because nobody would be willing to punch her?
I would push Katie.
I know, I would too, but we're not supposed to.
Not punch,
I feel like
I would push.
I feel like
I'd punch her.
Jeremy would end up being the top anyway.
No, but no, the thing is, though, I don't think Jeremy
would let him. Like, what? You think that Katie would let his fat ass get on her shoulders?
I just say she's the more strong and supportive one.
That is true.
She is probably the more supportive one, but I think Jeremy's failure as a bottom would destroy that team.
Probably. Yeah, it would.
Katie will get up on his shoulders, and then Jeremy just, you know, Jeremy would do something Jeremy-like, and yeah.
He'd trip and fall into the deep end. And
she would say go right, he would go left, and then they'd argue for 10 minutes about what's left or right.
I think
he would hold his hands up to see the L in the or the L in the not L, and then she'd fall off, and that'd be auto.
Or alternately, the game would start, and then she would force him to go left because over at that end of the pool was the in-pool bar, and she could just get vodka shots.
We should probably end it. Zappity.
Gramba.
What is your favorite cheese?
Colby.
Porcelain.
I like, mine's pretty
or
simple.
Or any.
I think we've answered this before. I like Munster.
Yeah, we had good. A cheese conversation
Colby's good.
Recently.
Porcelain's great. My stepson left his like 30-year-old cheddar behind.
Nice.
You should save it for him so when he gets out of basic.
I'll buy new cheddar, and when he gets back, it'll be 30 years old. That's how it works.
Well, one of the big 40K players, I think it's Sean Hook. He comes from a family of cheese crafters, and I think recently they just cracked open a 100-year-old cheese they'd been aging.
That seems
100-year-old cheddar or something.
That seems like it literally would have been nationwide news.
It was.
Yeah, okay then. Because this was a big deal when this guy found the 30-year-old cheddar. He moved a box in the back of his storeroom, and there was a wheel there that he forgot existed. And that's the only reason there was the 30-year-old cheddar, because normally he just does, like, 10-year.
Sure.
Yeah, I think his whole family is just cheese crafters or privateers. I don't know. But, yeah. I don't fucking know what they call themselves.
Cheesiers.
Yeah, cheese people. Also, Sargento has a pack of cheese that they've released now called the 5-State Cheddar that has Vermont, California, New York and Wisconsin and some other state that does cheese.
California,
really
maybe.
Yeah.
California really tries to have their dairy thing going.
Mm-hmm.
They suck.
Any cheese is good.
We should be rounding up pretty quick here. I'll try to hurry this up. Zappity Grumble. How many Zappity Grumbles will you get this week from Travis?
From Travis? Probably just this one.
Yep, just that one.
Zappity
Grumble. Double checking on the Facebooks. Where's my page?
I'm a dancing. I got no genitals.
We just have that one. Oh my fucking god! There's 28 comments. Son of a bitch.
Way to go, Brian. Fuck you.
Fucking David Brewerton. Fuck him. Seriously. Seriously.
Fuck you. Lightning 1-second answers. Go, go, go.
Oh, my God.
Just read it. You answer, I answer, Brian answers, and then you read
the
next
one.
Okay.
This.
All right, good. All right. If you could
We're only not letting him beat us.
No. Not let me finish the question.
Go.
If you could wash only one body part for the rest of your life, which would it be? My balls.
Kate Upton's boobs.
Agreed.
Oh, damn it. Zappity Grumble. Bill is on fire. Who do you save, a sibling or four strangers?
Sibling.
Sibling.
Sibling. Zappity Grumble. Do you feel at ease?
Wait, which of my siblings? Never
Can
mind.
I
go
my
on.
Other answer to Jennifer Tilly.
Oh. Or Kate Upton's
Go.
Do you feel at ease going out to see a movie by yourself?
No.
It's weird, but I don't like to.
I don't like to, but I can.
Yeah, agreed. People it's like going out to dinner by yourself.
People think you're a widow.
I don't go out to dinner by myself. I have to go with somebody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Zappity Grumble. For $35,000, would you go for 3 months without washing or brushing your teeth or using deodorant?
Yep.
I'd do that for free.
For 3 months? Fuck yes. Soon you could not explain your reasons to anybody until after the 3 months is up. Yeah. Fuck yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, deal with
it. Oh, after it's up, I get to explain retroactively? Easy.
Yep. Done.
Done.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Yep. Grumble. How many times do you use a disposable razor?
Zero.
Zappity
Grumble. If it had to be one of winter, autumn, spring, or summer for the rest of time, which would you choose?
Autumn.
Autumn.
Autumn or winter?
Autumn or winter. I actually like that edge between autumn and winter.
I love I like autumn's temperature and weather, but I love snow.
The autumn-spring transition.
Autumn, but cold enough that they have snow at Cascade Mountain.
Works.
Boom.
Zappity Grumble. If Jurassic Park were real, would you visit it?
Yes.
Yes. Zappity Grumble. If somebody offered to sell you accurately... Wait. Sorry, my eyes, I couldn't see it. If somebody offered to tell you accurately exactly what you'd be in 20 years, but you'd be powerless to change what they tell you, would you want to hear it?
Sure.
Yes.
Yes. Because it would be interesting, because if it isn't something that you could foresee happening,
yeah.
And then you're up until that point, and you still can't foresee that happening until it happens.
That'd be kind of interesting. Yeah. It would only suck if they're like in prison or dead.
That would be
interesting. But if there's like, yeah, you'll be whatever, like, okay, cool. That's not prison, so I'm just going to go like start killing people.
You can also jump off of buildings and survive.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
As long as they specify that you have use of the lower half of your body.
Yeah,
like, if they're just like, you're the most powerful, you're a quadriplegic businessman. I'm like, fuck. Quadra? Not even para? Quadra?
Because then you'd just be like slowly walking around corners for the rest of your life.
And then a day before, you just get like, oh, there's a crick in my neck. Ah! Just collapse.
Oh,
it's happening.
Grumble. If you get a free unlimited service for 5 years from an extremely good cook, chauffeur, or masseuse, which would you choose?
Cook.
Yep.
Zappity
grumble. If you could relive the last year, would you change any decisions you made? If you would, which ones?
Too long.
Minor ones, maybe, but I'm happy overall with what's happened.
Yeah, I'm happy overall. I wish I had more money.
Yep.
Zappity.
There's one decision that was rough, but I'm okay with what happened.
If you got to choose between 50 years of incredibly happy or to live forever and be unhappy, what you do choose?
50 years happy.
50 happy.
Because forever is terrible because the sun explodes and then you're floating around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or people evolve and you're a caveman monkey person a million years from now.
Your showcase.
Yep. Zappity. Grumble. If you had $1 million to spend, but you're going to die in 7 days, what would you do with your money?
Hookers and blow.
Agreed.
Blackjack and hookers. In fact, just forget the blackjack.
Combine.
And I'm guaranteed 7 days, so like the next 6 days I can't die.
Yeah, just go for it.
Oh, man, I would like fist fight bears. I would go swimming with sharks.
How much heroin can I shoot?
Oh, all the heroin straight into my testicles.
You got to get it in between your toes is the good spot I hear.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Zappity.
Zappity. Grumble. I'm gonna steal one of your lines here for the next one here. If you had to describe your life in 10 words or less, what would you say? All the heroin into my balls.
Mine is wasted potential.
Zappity grumble.
If you had to lose two limbs, whole legs or arms, which would you choose?
Legs.
Because I wouldn't take treads.
Yeah, wait, I get those backwards boomerang ones like the guy in Battleship. Good times.
Yeah, Blade Runners.
Oh, yeah. Battleship is such a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yep. Bad movie. Great bad movie. It's Zappity Grumble.
Yeah.
If you had to wear a mask for the rest of your life, which one did you pick? Hockey.
Plague Doctor. Or Gas Mask.
Raphael's.
That is the best turtle.
That goalie is pissed off.
That goalie is pissed off. It's happening.
Top 5 spaceships and pilot pairings of all time. Fuck, that's too much.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one.
Yep. You have to wear one set of clothes for the rest of your life. What would you wear? The same shit I wear all the time because I wear the same set of clothes all the damn time.
Just like t-shirt MGD and jeans
shirt and jeans.
Yeah. If you knew you were going blind in 2 months, what would you do? What would you want to travel and see?
Hookers and blow.
Blackjack and hookers, and forget the blackjack.
Scotland and Germany.
Space. If I can get to any place that I answer, I want to go into orbit and see the Earth.
Changing my answer, agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. That would be what I would
last. Literally the one thing I hope that I don't die until I get to do.
Jesus Christ, there's a lot of these.
Go.
Would you accept $30,000 a week job offer where you get to pay... Where you get paid to sit in pitch black room and do nothing for 8 hours a day?
No.
Yes?
Depends on
how nothing.
Did he say like $30,000
a week?
Oh, a week? Yeah. Then fuck it. I thought it was like that's your basic salary for a year.
Depends on how long. How long do you have to keep the job?
When I get in my mind, I can stay there for 8 hours and just fuck off. That's
what
I
do nothing.
Science.
It says specifically do nothing.
Well, yeah, you can just have to like meditate. I mean, I have to be able to think.
Yeah, I could meditate.
And if they somehow stop me from thinking, it means I can't go insane from the from the sensory deprivation. Yeah. So either win-win. Either I can just hum the Jeopardy theme song in my head and picture things, or I'm not going insane. Either way, I like money. You like money. We should hang out.
We should hang out. All right. What object, non-animal, would you want to be reincarnated as?
Object, non-animal?
Yep. Bicycle seat, girls' bicycle
yeah,
seat.
Yeah, I'd say some sexual thing is the obvious answer. That ovipositor.
Be a full body mirror.
All right.
Be a gun.
Would you rather be crouching tiger or a hidden dragon?
Hidden dragon.
Hidden dragon. A tiger's probably pooping. That's why he's crouching. It's a big stripy dog. It's kind of a big stripy dog.
Would you rather be bald or have a huge mullet for the rest of your life? Mullet.
All right.
Could you have both? Could you have a skullet?
I'm with the dreads, freaking.
Would it like Hulk Hogan?
No.
Hulk Hogan has a skullet.
I feel terrible.
You're thinking of Joe Dirt, maybe?
No.
My head is freezing. It's the fucking tip of the tongue because it's I talked about it all the goddamn ever. Time. Devin Townsend had the mullet. He had the bald on top mullet with dreadlocks. Fuck. I would do bald because then I would do the Walter White, you know, goatee bald thing. And,
all right, Debbie,
I'm balding. I'm fine.
Yeah. I'm balding. I know that.
Bald is fine. There's no more stigma on bald. As long as you go whole. If you hide it, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Would you rather lose your sex organs forever or gain 200 pounds for the rest of your life?
If you gain 200 pounds, you're not going to use your sex
organs. If you lose
your
sex organs, you're going to gain weight anyways, so you don't win.
The only exercise you get is having sex?
No, because when you lose the ability to produce testosterone and your other hormones, you end up finding other ways to gain pleasure, and you end up gaining a lot of weight. So people who are really fat probably don't have a lot of sex.
That's why eunuchs are usually chubby.
Yeah, eunuchs get really fat.
Yeah.
Sappy. Jesus Christ. Would you rather have sex with your cousin in secret or not have sex with your cousin but everyone think you did?
I'd have sex with my cousin in secret.
Secret.
Yeah.
Because she's hot.
Would you rather get explosive diarrhea every time you meet your boss or every time you meet your significant other's parents?
Significant other's parents. It's much rarer.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a head of size of a tennis ball or the size of a watermelon?
Watermelons are passable these days.
I'd go tennis ball.
Encephalitis.
I would go tennis ball and feign ignorance.
You'd be that guy from Beetlejuice.
Yeah, but I would just never, like, people... I would love the look on people's faces when they tried not to notice.
Yeah. Look me in the eye.
Somebody told me to not check Facebook. Unfortunately, I looked at the chat too late.
Brian left us with this mess.
Yeah. Would you rather have the best house in a shitty neighborhood or the worst house in a fancy neighborhood? Worst house in a fancy. Yeah. Because even though it looks bad on the outside, maybe pretty awesome inside.
Well, and the best house in the worst neighborhood is breeding grounds for burglary.
Well, it depends. Part of being a good house is high walls and guard. An
underground pathway to the grocery store. So maybe then I'd take that.
I already live in a bad neighborhood, and I'm happy with it. I'd like a nice house.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll go with that.
All right. What do you honestly think of the Texas War Machines players?
Which ones? They're all fine people. I hang out with them all the time.
I like them too.
Haven't met them. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
As what Will has told me, I'm part of the Cool Kids Club now. So.
They can be, like, Will especially, but, like, the Texans can be really hyper-competitive. Like, if there's one strike against Will as a person, quote-unquote, it's that as a War Machine player, he's very, very adamant. These are the good things. These are the bad things. This is correct. This is wrong. Right. Okay. Sure. That doesn't make him a bad guy. I'll have a beer with him anytime.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He was also born in Texas, so it works. They're good.
Yeah.
Sure.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Who is your favorite person? Why is it David Brewerton?
David Brewerton, and oh my god, because he's psychic!
Zappity Crumble. All right, done. We got very... Oh god, we're over.
Yeah.
All right, I recommend Telltale Games, Tales from the Borderlands, because all the Telltale games are good, and I finally got around to playing it, and it's the best of the Telltale games.
I recommend the Wooden Wargamer, I believe it's called. He makes dice trays out of wood, and it's really nice wood, and you should go find his page on Facebook. It might not be correct what I said, but it is what it is.
I recommend the show Humans, because if you want to be creeped out by crazy robots, it's a pretty good show.
You said you were going to recommend Bravest Warriors!
I was hoping that Brian would recommend it, and I was trying to steer him into recommending Bravest Warriors.
Tonight I get you. You will pay.
Yes. All right, Deputy Grumble, look at it.
Bye.
Bye.